Just
why was it funny, Danny?
I'm sorry, I was reading something else. What are we talking about?
Yeah, that's about right.
Why was what funny?
Any questions, any answers, anybody want a mint?
Anybody want a mint? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
Anybody want a peanut? I know that one. Princess Bride, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody want to start this podcast? Well, I think I've already reached my quota of things I referenced that no one else knows about.
Yeah.
I'm at three.
That you get no more. Make sure you tread lightly.
Well, that's your trilogy right there.
Yay! Yeah. Were you disappointed? Did it not live up to the hype? Did my first reference give you expectations that were not met by the second or third reference?
I wasn't aware there was hype. I was barely aware I was in this conversation.
Welcome to
the Fantastic
Justice Squad. Super Wando
Brother.
Friends.
The review stuff.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Fanbro Friends.
Woohoo!
Yeah! I'm your host, Sancho Panda. Flying with me on the other side of one of those speeder things in Bespin where it looks like two big shoes connected by a 4x4 is Secret Alias Man. What's your alias today?
What?
You know what I'm talking about? Those flyy things?
Cloud
what
car?
Are they called again?
X-Wings?
Cloud car.
Cloud car.
I'm on the top half of an X-Wing. I'm on a really wide V.
Cloud car, whatever. It's Secret Alias Man, what's your alias today?
Today, my alias is Scruffy the Empire Slayer.
I like it. It sounds warm and cuddly.
Yeah.
And at the same time, deadly.
Mm. Yeah. Like a scorpion.
Yeah, or a poisonous porg.
Oh.
And that other voice you heard who answered the Star Wars trivia I unwittingly said porg.
I couldn't help it.
Garrick is back.
Hey,
you're supposed
up,
to stay silent till your introduction.
I spoiled the surprise, and I apologize. I'm so
that's
sorry,
okay.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm sure everyone was delightfully surprised, anyways.
Surprise,
when you piped
me.
In.
Yeah, I'm back. It's been a while.
Garrick, so not Jay Hardy.
Hey,
across the Red River and up a few.
Yep, that's me. Across the Red Sands and the Salt Flats and whatever it's hyperspace lanes.
Since you're our guest, I'll ask you first, Garrick, in our segment of.
When we last left our heroes.
What have you been up to?
Nothing. I've been doing the Fly Casual cast and waiting for my opportunity to come back.
Mm-hmm.
I've been fighting a little bit of crime on the side, maybe. And yeah.
Maybe.
Trying to catch up on all the movies you guys recommended and some that you didn't.
Was so. One of the crimes that no one was eating those cookies that were just sitting there in the bakery?
Yes.
Well.
That's my superpower. I'll save you cookies. Nom, nom, nom.
I fight that crime a lot.
Yeah, I fight it a little too much.
I should fight fighting that, but I don't.
Nah. It's my weakness and my strength.
So you're a Zack Snyder movie.
Yeah. The cookie's mom's name was Martha. But I still ate it.
How about you, Secret Alias Man? It's been a while since we've done one of these podcasts. How have you filled the time?
Well, I was offered the chance to direct a mainstream big property movie franchise, but I turned it down because I'm not insane.
That's very prudent.
I'm sure the internet would be so kind to you right now.
It's like a big giant digital hug, the internet.
To the neck.
Did you get a t-shirt that says, I haven't ruined anyone's childhood lately?
Today.
I want that t-shirt now.
So what I did do to help childhoods is I've been telling you for a while that I've been working on my Poe costume.
Mm-hmm.
So we did a sportsing thing, a national sportsing thing, which as you know is my absolute non-favorite. But we did it anyway.
Yes.
We went to a Dallas Mavericks basketball game for Star Wars Day.
Ooh.
Cool.
So Poe was on the Jumbotron and a group of us just walked around and interacted with all the kids, and I had my BB-8 with me. So the big lesson I learned is kids love BB-8,
mm-hmm.
and that guy who stands next to him.
Yes. Now, who talked first? Did you talk first, or did the kids talk first?
The kids talked first. What would happen is they would come up to me, and they'd go, oh, it's BB, Chewbacca! So I did a lot of passing high fives, like the beginning of a Little League game. as they walked past me. So the other really cool thing that I got to do is I have a friend who owns a comic book shop who I've known since I was a teenager, and he just opened a giant new store. It's called Collected Comics. He's got a few of them here in the Dallas area. So if you're here, definitely go to his shop. He's a super nice guy. For his grand opening, he had a couple of people that would make you go through the doors and check out their wares. And one of them was the creator of Pinky and the Brain.
Oh.
Ooh.
So, you know, we're Facebook friends now.
What?
Just saying. Yeah.
Wow.
Was that one of the Warner Brothers or both of them?
Is he Yako or Jocko? One of the two.
Is he Jakov Smirnov? What's his name?
So
I love this country.
I brought, and I'll have to post this video on our Fanbro Friends Facebook page, which is reason enough for all of our listeners to go there tomorrow immediately. But I was a guest as the Winter Soldier, and so I brought my Pinky and the Brain pop figurines.
Oh, yeah.
And not only did he sign the back of both of their heads, which was a lot easier on the Brain, but I sat there as the Winter Soldier and enacted a little play with my little signed pop figures as he sits in a chair next to me, just giving me a very appreciative look of my theater skills.
Did you get the voices down and everything?
I will say that as much as that can be done through a Winter Soldier mask, while you're still geeking out saying, I'm performing a Pinky and the Brain puppet show next to the creator of Pinky and the Brain, can be done. Yes, I absolutely nailed the voices.
Well done.
Wow. Well, a big movie came out recently, Ferdinand, and we're going to talk about it.
Oh, Ferdinand.
Well, wait, you didn't tell us what you've done to help save the world.
I turned 40.
Whoa.
So.
Congratulations.
Whatever. Woof, meow, moo, whatever. Little Charlie Brown Christmas, again, reference there.
Doing everything I do just 10 years later.
Yep. So that took me several months. Now we're here.
Took you several months to get there or get over it?
Yes. Speaking of getting over, we are talking Last Jedi.
Yay!
I'm not sure if you could hear it, but the next room, my daughter, who's probably being told to go to bed, just went, no!
No! See, we have a point and counterpoint going on here. Okay. It's going to be good.
I think so.
Wait. I'm getting a message from your daughter. Oh, we have to interrupt this broadcast.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Disney has signed the deal. Disney has bought Fox. Not the fantastic Mr. Fox, not the adorable Fox from The Little Prince, or the amazing Archer from Robin Hood, but 20th
Century
Fox. They've purchased Michael J. Fox.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know slavery was still a thing.
Well, he's Canadian. He's not an actual person.
Oh.
Whoa.
Hey, now.
Wait, our podcasts don't go that far, right?
I'm kind of Canadian.
The arc of broadcasting, the parabola falls before Canada, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
They're right outside of our range. We're hitting their shields, but that's about it.
They'll run out of fuel eventually, don't worry.
Yes, they win then. They'll all start listening to us and be offended.
We'll show you, eh?
Well, they need Michael J. Fox to go back in time and not do the Fantastic Four movies.
Wait, which ones?
Undo them?
All of them.
So what this means a few things, and I had a long list, but I'm going to stick to three. It means that the X-Men are now in the Marvel Universe.
Woo!
Yeah!
That's going to be awesome.
Which means Black Panther can now marry Storm.
Oh, yeah. That's right!
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It also means the Fantastic Four are in the Marvel Universe.
Ooh. Which means Steve Rogers can fight Human Torch?
Yes. And Mr. Fantastic could actually be fantastic.
Oh.
It also means that Disney now owns 100% of Star Wars A New Hope, which was previously split in its ownership.
That's true.
Oh,
yep.
Oh, so Blu-ray of original theatrical release, anyone?
Possibly.
Will Han shoot first?
Ooh, that would be awesome.
That would be a Christmas miracle.
Yeah. So I heard this news. I skipped straight over the first two things, and I went, Han shoots first. Please tell me Han shoots first.
Come on.
Did you find anything, any rumors or anything?
I found a lot of equally goosebumpy people as myself, but no actual information.
Just a bunch of people looking like basketballs. Just standing around.
A bunch of goosebumps people all looking over like them. Cold turkeys on November 24th. Yeah.
I like that one better.
Yeah.
That's good.
So it's going to cause a bit of confusion for people like Josh Brolin, who is Cable in the Deadpool series, and also you-know-who in the Avengers series.
Oh, yeah, Thanos.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's two Human Torches that are in the Marvel Universe as well. Well, there will be once the Black
I think Black Chris Panther Evans will just have to hold some sessions. It's like, look, everybody, we can get through this.
Is it Michael B. Jordan?
Yes.
So they're going to have to play rock, paper, scissors to see who's going to take over the role again.
Well, we'll have to see his fate in Black Panther first.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he could come back.
It's Michael B. Jordan Fox. Although, Cable can time travel as well. So this will all work out.
Yes.
Yay.
Can he time travel to a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away?
I don't see why not.
There's probably going to be a few downsides. So sorry, Channing Tatum. I don't think your gambit is going to get made.
Hmm.
There are too many other cool things on the table. However, the one really, really exciting thing to me, which is a combination of this news and a little Easter eggy nugget from The Last Jedi, is that I'm going to be the first to say this publicly.
Oh.
The Orville will be part of the Star Wars universe.
That's right. Hell yes. It's so unfair. Oh.
Because.
Breaking news, everyone.
Breaking news. Maz, our little favorite googly-eyed, little turtle-headed warrior prophet woman.
Or as I like to call her, Professor Trelawney.
Yes. Who's still waiting for Hermione to show up on time. In her little cameo in the new film, she's in the midst of this really cool little laser battle, and she's jumping around between rocks, and she's trying to take a Skype call, and she says, I'm a little busy right now because I'm in the middle of a union dispute.
Oh, yes.
So a long time ago, there was a union that had a dispute.
What are the odds?
Which means the union continued. And ultimately, yeah. Earth joined it, and we get the Orville.
Yeah, and the Orville, that's like the analog to Starfleet, right? The Union.
So the only question that I have is, did Rian Johnson know that this deal was in the midst of happening when he wrote this? And did he put that in on purpose? Or is he an actual prophet?
Maybe.
Or can he travel through time in some sort of looping fashion?
Or is he a prophet like Professor Trelawney, where he's prophesying but he doesn't even realize it?
It's the Grimm. It's always the Grimm with you, Ryan. Always the Grimm.
The Grimm.
Or was he already in the midst of his eventual breakdown? So
I hope he's doing well. I hope all the actors are doing well.
Yeah.
There's been some nasty, nasty hate out there.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like they're all in a little room, like the kids in the Cat in the Hat, just watching the raindrops come down the window, saying, it's too wet to go out. It's no good to play. So, there we go.
There we go.
We now return you to regular programming.
And we're back and we're ready to talk Last Jedi.
Woo. Woo.
Yes. Now, for those of you listeners who haven't seen it yet, and maybe you're not the biggest fans of Star Wars, so you actually don't remember a whole lot of The Force Awakens, I have prepared a nice summary from Finn's perspective.
Reluctantly placed in the battle lines, adrenaline pumping and losing his spine, the lens flare flashes, the fighting erupts, he stares at his buddy, whose life ends abrupt, there's blood on his bucket, not sure how to feel, it happened so fast, man, this poodoo got real,
8-bit resistance.
Heartless and calloused, they slaughter the town, his trigger is jammed by a mental breakdown, as they return to orbit, he's taking his chance, he breaks out a pilot and they start a bromance, their TIE fighter crashes, he wakes in a haze, Yoink took Poe's jacket, he dead anyways, the sun beats down and his armor comes off, stumbles into town and he drinks from a trough while Mary Sue beats him with the plaguey stick. He thinks up a lie and he thinks
Shots
it
fired.
Up quick. He's with the Resistance. He's a really big deal. Rey's not alone.
Not alone.
BB-8 is the state's third wheel. But Finn is running and hiding. His outlook is grim. He's striving to make it to the outer rim. He's not really Resistance.
I wish my voice was a little bit bassier for this.
Count bassier? Or all about that bassier?
The 8-bit music works perfect.
Thank you. I worked really hard on this.
No gangsters, no reptars, no slapstick escapes. Let's skip on instead to when the real plot takes shape. Forest-filled landscape that's crawling with spies. Katana Trelawney looks into his eyes. In his mind, he's still wishing he was far, far away. Rey's hoping he'll fight, but his answer is nay. Until she gets Bowser to Death Planet base.
Bowser.
The power of friendship is his slap in the face. The sun has got drained and the weapon is hot. And Phasma is left in a dumpster to rot. Girl, he's saving, Han dying, a saber massage. His new identity, you can't camouflage.
Everybody,
he's with the Resistance. He's a really big deal. Rey fights alone, while the snow helps his wounds congeal.
Gross.
And while he's dying, she's striving and using the Force. The light side is easier than riding a horse. They're loading Finn's body back into the ship. They want to get him into a biohexacrypt. He's with the Resistance.
We were so wrong on that.
He's a
really
big deal.
Wrong.
He's with the Resistance.
Thank you.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
There's a lot of fun Easter eggs in there for those who know what we're talking about.
I especially like the part where you didn't talk about how his jacket got fixed after being saber sliced at the back.
Man, who knows, man?
It's the future.
That snow has healing properties in it.
Yeah. It's a biohexic jacket.
We thought that was the thing he was going to be
being
healed in when we heard the word biohexacrypt. We were just off.
Oh,
it was the crypt part.
Yeah.
We were thinking like a crypt,
not
cryptology.
Yeah. Totally off on that one.
Yeah, but we're not in spoilers yet, so we won't talk about what that really was, if it even comes up. Garrick, as our guest, how would you describe The Last Jedi to someone who hasn't seen it yet?
Well, I would say porgs, Poe, and Battlestar Galactica, because I need an alliteration.
Is that an Office reference?
That is an Office
Bears
reference.
Beats. Yes. I love you so much.
Yeah, that was an Office reference.
Bears beats Battlestar Galactica. Oh, man. That's great. Secret Alias Man?
How would I describe this movie?
Yes.
Not on the internet, that's for sure.
Very valid point.
I would describe it as an old hope.
Ouch. And true. You guys are so quippy. Mine's a little bit longer. I would say it's one third original trilogy, one third new stuff like Rogue One and Force Awakens, and one third prequel.
Yeah.
And if you really wanted this movie to feel like one of those three, you will be two-thirds disappointed. And if my math checks out, that's why half the fans hate it.
Oh, yeah. Wait a minute.
You have to carry the one.
Oh, wow.
And
man,
you forgot about Bernoulli's equation and the Pythagorean theorem.
Oh, yeah.
And don't forget...
E equals MC squared. I got it.
Yeah. And Schrodinger's angle. All that stuff.
I think you measured that in parsecs.
I do.
Oh, yeah.
Parsecs of time. Oh, it's a good thing we can laugh as we talk about The Last Jedi. I have a feeling we are across the spectrum on this one. Let's talk strengths and weaknesses, or as we like to call them on our show, superpowers and Achilles' heels.
Ba-bum,
Who'd like to mention a strength? We'll go back and forth. Strength? Anyone.
It's certainly one of the best new drinking game movies ever. Every time someone says the word hope.
It's so true. It's almost like that was a theme.
Double points if hope is lost.
Well, we don't want to kill our listeners. Don't do that, guys.
With alcohol poisoning?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. That's what I meant.
Too late.
Don't do that.
Already started. Oh, no.
Okay, so is that really a strength? Is that? Oh, we really want to start this.
No,
the word hope is said a lot.
I have strengths.
Go ahead.
Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mark Hamill. Knocked best it. Best movie performance of his career.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, yes.
Yeah.
And all the Leia. It was so good to see so much Carrie Fisher in this film. I had no idea how they were going to handle it. I didn't know what they had. I thought they'll probably only give us a little bit because that's all they have. And we got so much, and it was like a real closure, especially for those of us who watched the original films in the theater and really came to love her. It was so complete of a feeling to get so much of her. It was a real chance to say goodbye and we love you. So I really, really appreciated how much Leia there was in this.
Yes.
I agree.
100% agree.
Oh, yeah.
And Poe.
Poe.
Yeah. Poe just being Poe. Because Poe.
Yeah. I think along those lines, my strength would be just the characters. A lot of the characters in general, all of them were pretty good. I mean, we had new characters that were pretty good. Like, in my opinion, Vice Admiral Holdo, I think, was really good. They call mm-hmm. Kylo really grew on me during this movie. I thought he really came around because I was kind of iffy at him after the first movie because I didn't really get his character. But now you get a really good in-depth look at his character in The Last Jedi. So that's one of my strengths.
I even like C-3PO in this one. My favorite scene was when he had to finish telling somebody what the odds were.
Yeah, he couldn't stop himself.
He couldn't stop. Like, he's the Sheldon of Star Wars.
Took to one.
Yeah, he's C-3POCD.
I like it.
And I think he also still wanted to be complimented on his new gold arm. So he was in kind of a needy place.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
It's like, this movie used to be about me.
Boy, Anakin really designed him with a lot of insecurities, didn't he? I don't know what that was all about.
Ah, yeah. I wonder where he got that from.
Since it seems like we're going around with a strength, great visuals.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There's so many good visuals. There's a couple bad ones, but there's a lot of really good ones. And there's a moment in the theater when everyone just gasps and then is silent. And it's breathtaking.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, there's one in particular where Rey is standing at the mouth of a cave looking out onto the ocean, and just the way she's silhouetted and the way the blue of the sky and the water comes in, it's very Kurosawa samurai looking, and it's just gorgeous.
There's a lot of Kurosawa homages in this movie.
Yeah. All right, I've got more strengths, but let's hop back and forth. Everyone, share a weakness, an Achilles heel of this movie.
Well, you know, there are questions that didn't get answered, like, is Deckard a replicant?
Yeah.
Well, he ain't. And,
exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you go wanting an answer and you don't get it, that's tough.
Mm-hmm.
I have a general Achilles heel as far as expectations go that's a combination of the last film and this one together.
Yeah.
Which is, I never got the full reunion. I never got Han and Leia and Luke and Chewie and C-3PO and R2 all in the same room at the same time.
Taking a picture?
Yeah, I want the selfie.
Mm-hmm. Here we are on the Falcon, y'all!
And I want Chewbacca's head to be cut off in the photo, you know.
Yeah. And there's a Porg photo bombing.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm with you on that. I think a lot of people went in wanting to see certain particular character interactions, and it's hard to meet all of those, you know, but I'm with you on that. Yeah. Garrick?
There was a lot of choices, and I don't want to get into particular, a lot of directorial choices that I think were off, that kind of detracted from the movie, that kind of made me roll my eyes and groan
that
while I was watching it.
Eye rolling. I've heard that come up so many times from people reviewing this movie that they couldn't stop rolling their eyes. Big Bro, did you get that feeling? You've seen it twice. You're the only one of us who's seen it twice.
That's true.
I've seen it twice. I've seen it in a packed theater on opening day, and I've seen it in a very sparse theater. There were, I think, 10 of us because it was a late showing.
Wow, that's awesome.
It was a very different experience from being surrounded by the first day viewers. And no, mm-hmm. I didn't get the eye-rolling experience on opening day.
Well, that's just mine.
I'll just say, like, as a weakness, I felt like there was some pretty clunky dialogue, like where people are just delivering lines of exposition that if it wasn't for the sake of the audience, that's not what they would be saying or how they would be talking.
Mm-hmm.
And any time that happened, it just kind of jarred me. Speaking of jarring, I mean, the prequels did that a lot too, but for some reason it didn't bother me in those because that's like how the whole movie was.
Yeah.
In this one, there was a lot of good movie and then you'd just hit that clunky expositional dialogue and it fell out of place.
Yeah.
It felt like someone whose writing isn't completely refined yet.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, there's a lot of points that are like, oh, here's the part where everything gets explained. All right, I'll just sit here and listen. Cool.
Now, Force Awakens had that too with the Death Star scene where they're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
It kind of had that too.
And that's one of my least
favorite. But it got it
parts.
All out of the way in one scene.
Yeah.
And Force Awakens had a lot of, you know what's going on by watching instead of by people telling you what's going on. Sometimes when you don't even need to be told what's going on. So I think Force Awakens had that as a strength over Last Jedi.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. There was a particular scene where Luke and Rey were talking and they were sitting in the sacred Jedi place next to the the sacred water of exposition and and the sacred symbol of duh. And I did almost feel like they were going to turn to a Truman Show style. Like, do you have it? Can we move on?
Yeah.
Someone was going to do an ad for something. Yeah. Green milk. It's in your local grocer.
Blue.
No, it's green in this movie.
Oh, yeah. Is it milk? I don't know. What is it?
Well, it's milked. It's so something. By definition, it's milk.
It's something.
I'm assuming those are udders. Don't steer me off course on that.
Okay.
There was one other Achilles heel of a movie that I mostly enjoyed. This was the only part where I went, there are two characters who have to go on a side mission.
Everyone has that complaint.
I don't have the complaint as much of what the mission was necessarily as that as they were doing it, I didn't feel near enough of their sense of urgency.
Mm-hmm.
That they were taking their own sweet time about it. And meanwhile, people are dying and there are lives on the line and they decide to go Operation Kindness. And it's just like you...
Well worded to still not be spoilery. I'm impressed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that entire sequence could have been aided by making that mission slightly more streamlined and giving them a ticking clock to at least provide the urgency, but it just wasn't there. So
I
felt a little bit like, okay, this is the molasses part of the script where we may never see these two again.
Huh, interesting. Along the lines of that, I felt like there's some kind of weird discontinuity happening where time in one place is really urgent and time in another place is going through a number of days, and it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I felt that too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no way that in the time of what you're seeing in one place that so much time could be going by in the other place.
Yeah, and there are films that handle that very well. The Ocean's 11 film, for example, you never see... Mm-hmm. You know, George Clooney and Matt Damon in the middle of something very, very important. And then meanwhile, you know, Brad Pitt's off having an ice cream with his heels kicked up watching TV. You know, it's just they're always on the same clock.
And then wakes up and has another day and then goes to sleep again.
Right.
And has another day.
And has another ice cream. Yeah.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. Well said. Now, as you are world renownedly known by people who listen to this podcast as a hater of Looper. Big bro.
Looper hater.
With your hang-ups about that movie and it being the same director, did that kind of soften you to some of these things? Because you're like, yeah, that's where I see his weakness as a director, and I was kind of expecting it.
Probably. Considering who he was, I thought this exceeded the expectations of what I had going in.
Lucky. Gosh.
See, we're all coming at it from different standpoints, though. I mean, Garrick and I are coming more from the Star Wars lore, and we've analyzed fan theories and read backstories, and we're rearing to go. And you're coming in from the history of cinema, you know, and analyzing directorial styles
right.
point of view. Not that you're not a fan.
Which puts me in the ironic position of this is exactly the shoes that I would be wearing talking about Justice League.
Yes, yes. I'd probably be saying, hey, that was a good romp. And you would be
mighty good yarn.
Hating me with everything in your being.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would truly wonder how, even though I had zero expectations for Zack Snyder going into Justice League, how he could again set the bar on the ground and then dig.
It was that bad. Oh, sorry. I haven't seen it.
Man. Well, I mean, Joss Whedon liked a tweet bashing the villain in the movie. Yeah. What does that tell you about that movie?
Ouch.
Well, so on that topic of the fan reaction, so here's the interesting thing between those two movies.
Yes, let's talk it up.
Star Wars as a Rotten Tomatoes rating is the exact opposite of Justice League as far as critic and fan reactions. It has a 93% critic and a 55% fan.
Wow.
It's going down further.
Yeah.
People are making these crazy theories that there's a lot of bots involved in all of the negative reviews, but every review I've read is like lengthy. Like there's no way bots are putting this out. These lengthy arguments about why it's bad in the user reviews. Like people are taking their time to do this. I think if it's slightly askew, it's still mostly actual fans.
Yeah, I agree.
Wow. Those bots really want it. Those are bots of the first order.
Yes.
Oh.
But
Justice League, conversely, has 40% critic approval and 79, mm-hmm. almost 80% fan.
Holy cow.
Yeah, but DC fans are delusional.
True. So you take those numbers, you flip them, and add 15%, and they're exactly equal.
They're in an abusive relationship.
Yeah. It's so sad. Gosh. They just keep coming back.
Yeah. That's a good point, though. It says something to you about expectations going in, even measured expectations going in, even when you're trying not to have expectations going in, and what actually happens to your heart.
So, to me, though, the interesting thing is the box office receipts, because despite what people are writing on the internet...
One weekend.
The Last Jedi made more in one weekend...
One weekend.
...than Justice League has made so far.
Wow! Mm-hmm.
So here are the actual numbers, in case our listeners don't believe me, and these are true as of an hour ago. The Last Jedi is the number two opening weekend of all time, of any movie, any genre, domestically in the U.S., of all time, second only to... You
Force
know
Awakens.
What it is. Force the Force Awakens. Awakens. Yep. 241,565,000.
Not bad.
Cow.
The percent of total gross of that weekend was 91%.
Holy cow.
That is gross.
Which means if you were any other movie, you had a 9% chance people would come and see you combined.
Like Ferdinand.
Ferdinand!
So, 241.5 million compared to Justice League's total so far. 220 even.
What'd they do opening weekend, like 60 million or something like that? 60.
Yeah, it was not great.
Just under, I think it was just under 100 for the full weekend, 100 million.
So, speaking of tweets, I have one tweet from Rian Johnson that I pulled because I thought it was so worthy of repeating.
Okay.
Having been a Star Wars fan my whole life and having spent most of my life on the other side of the curb and in that fandom, it does soften the blow a little bit. I'm aware through my own experience that, first of all, the fans are so passionate. They care so deeply. Sometimes they care very violently at me on Twitter.
Oh, that's horrible.
Oh, man.
Sometimes they care very violently at me.
Sorry for him now.
He's like Leslie Knope. Yeah. I don't hear people yelling. I hear people caring at me loudly.
Yeah. You know, no one's...
Good on you, RJ. That was an awesome response.
No one's forcing them to like it. They might be projecting. But yeah, there's a lot of shade. And, I mean, it is Star Wars, but can we not have some Star Peace? Let's all Obi-Wan. You can like what you like, and you can love who you love.
I love you guys.
Aw.
No, you're not allowed
too.
To do that.
Oh, no.
Dang it. I thought we were having a bromance moment.
I know.
No, it's too late.
Dang it.
I'm going to edit out my laugh. Sorry.
Well,
another strength before we move on
to
other things. Hey, good on this movie for making me feel the sacrifices made by ordinary people. That is not something I ever got from any of the other Star Wars movies besides Rogue One.
Yeah, I was going to say.
People are mourning deaths instead of just being like, oh, well, on to the next action set. I like it.
There was that one Ewok.
Oh, yeah.
Now I'm sad.
He lost his buddy.
Because we poked him and he didn't move, remember?
Yeah. He was crying on him. Big Ewok tears rolling down his now blinking eyes.
Any other strengths or weaknesses you guys want to mention before we hop in the kids' chair?
I have a big strength, and it's... I think the listeners are sort of getting the sense that on the spectrum, I'm on the pro. I liked the movie's end of it. But to me, this movie did the thing that I've been on about for the last few episodes, and I was certainly on about it at the end of Defenders, which is this story was about something.
Mm-hmm.
It made brave choices, and it was the best kind of conflict. It was a war of ideologies. It's what made the first X-Men movie so great. It's what makes great movies great. And in a war of ideologies, people can change their positions. And Star Wars especially has been about that. It was about, I can change Anakin's position. I can save him. I can make him not who he is. I can make him this other thing. And so this story was about people who have one ideology and other people who think, I can change that stance. And
yeah, going both ways.
And, mm-hmm. and it goes both ways. If we can have a story where a ideology that is opposed to ours can change and come towards ours, then we have to consider the possibility that someone who is with us could change their ideology and go towards the opposing view and all of the shades of gray in between. And that should not be a shocking, terrible thing. So when one of the characters in this film makes a statement that says about the Jedi that they've been romanticized, I thought that was a very powerful statement about just public opinion of the film in general, which is, we do that. We have our memories of the original trilogy. We have our memories of the things we care about, and we have romanticized about them. And because of that, we have this additional layer of judgment. And so the line from the trailer of, this is not going to go the way you think, I think Rain put in that line as a plot defense. He's learned from all the people that hated Looper.
He's like Bryan Singer saying, everyone knows the third one's the worst.
Yes.
In X-Men Apocalypse. About Return of the Jedi. Wow, full circle.
Whoa. Yeah. So to me, that is a strength because the movie said something. It stuck to the thing that it said, and it has us talking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'll add to that in a way, for me, there was a great payoff to that because it's something that Lucas had been alluding to in the prequels, in the Clone Wars, that the Jedi weren't perfect, that they had their flaws, mm-hmm. that they were prideful and they were kind of blind to some of their errors. And that's what led to their downfall. And I thought it was seamless in that.
It was. I had this conversation earlier in the spoiler chat room of the guys that I work with, and I said, look, guys, imagine if you were King Arthur and you thought that you were going to set up the new Camelot and you had one immediate family member and you had your very best friend in the world and you promised them that you would not let them down. And not only did you let them down, you created Hitler.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Oops.
The things that happen after that should not be this huge surprise to you, because imagine how you would feel. You would want to hide in shame and never again make another promise to anyone. And so at the end of Force Awakens, when they've had to go find this exiled King Arthur and give Excalibur back to him, the continuation from the end of Force Awakens through all of The Last Jedi, if you look at it that way, makes perfect sense.
Do you agree, Garrick?
Yeah, I agree to a point. I mean, well, I don't want to spoil it.
Just quick yes or no, and we'll get back into
yes,
it, I promise.
Yes.
All right, peace out. I win.
Resounding mild yes.
I take your meh as a win.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, sure.
I'll give you that ish.
But you know what? I saw the first showing for free because cred, but I paid for myself and my wife to see the second one because I wanted to support a movie that at least came out and said, I'm going to say something, and I want more movies that do that.
So you took your wife to it, but would you take a kid to it?
I would.
Segway. Kids chair.
Woo!
We gotta get in the kids chair. And this time I'm on top.
sense.
I didn't like last time.
Oh, last time didn't work out for me. Ah, oh, dang it. That's the worst.
You're the... I don't know where to go with this analogy without making it awkward.
Just go with it. I promise you, I had five less than mints at the end after we did this last time. I'm not pointing fingers, but here's my brother. So, Kids Chair, the movie's rated PG-13 for Star Warsy sci-fi violence. Mm-hmm. And it's about the same as every other Star Warsy sci-fi violence level that there's ever been. There's no blood if you really look and think about it. In all of the fights and all the battles, all the lasers and guns, there's no blood. There's no F-bombs. Mm-hmm. I didn't count the throat hugs, but there's a couple of warm throat hugs.
Yeah, just a few.
Yay.
Mostly, I think if you're going to take a young child, the only thing you're going to have to worry about is that some scenes have quite a few minutes of grown-up talking.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
For the most part, eventually they're broken up by a cute animal or a sight gag.
Yep.
Or some, you know, good old fighting. There are some very strong girl role models. So if you have a daughter, this is a good one. This is a good one to take her to. There's some good positive messages to talk about on your car ride on the way home. There's one surprise big death, but it's not copyable. It's not something that a child would necessarily emulate.
or try to do to their friend on the playground area.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So, I mean, it's not a gun. It's not anything like that. It's a bit of a surprise. And so I don't think you have to worry about your child emulating that. I would say, and I gut checked this with my wife, and she independently corroborated my number. I would say age 5 and up are okay for this.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Hmm. Mm. I guess, yeah, I guess maybe. I guess it depends on what that 5-year-old's been exposed to before then, if they're used to seeing actual human deaths on screen of any kind.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, you're going to get that in some of the Pixar movies, honestly. So.
Oh, bing bong.
Bing bong. Well, there is
the grief is still too near.
There is a violent dismemberment. I think that would be my only holdback to maybe a younger kid seeing that. Maybe cover their eyes at that part.
I was going to say 9 or 10, but yeah.
That's a fairly sheltered 9-year-old, though, I think.
Maybe. I mean, yeah, but it depends on the kid. I mean, my daughter just, she doesn't want to watch the scary parts of Tangled. So.
They're scary parts? Well,
let me put
Which I still contend that Mother Gothel could be Snoke.
Yeah.
Well, as always, every parent, you know your own child.
Yes, yes.
And I'm not saying that a 5-year-old will understand the entire movie, but I'm saying if you want to see it and take them with you, you're not a horrible parent for taking your 5-year-old. I mean, I was 9 when I saw the first Star Wars, and nothing in there bothered me at all.
And now that the cat's out of the bag about my age, I saw the Star Wars. It was re-released in 81 as a 4-year-old, and although that dumpster scene scared the poo out of me.
Was it the monster?
The
Dianoga?
Whatever it's called.
Yeah, Dianoga.
Shut up, trivia man.
Yeah, sorry.
What were you scared? Did anything scare you as a 9-year-old seeing that?
You were scared at the trash compactor scene? You know, they don't get eaten by the eels at that time.
The references are strong with this one.
What was I scared at when?
When they're in the trash compactor and the thing pulls Luke underwater.
No, I wasn't.
The Geronimo.
Nailed it.
The diadema. Yes.
The diorama.
No, I knew they'd get saved somehow. I just wanted to see how.
Right, because you're at the point where you can trust a plot to take care of its main characters.
Well, yeah, they've got 4 or 5 of the main characters in this scene. They're going to be fine.
And I'm just like, this is real. What I'm seeing on this big screen is really happening right now as I look at
Everyone
it.
In Flat World is in danger.
Yes. I'm so worried. Tell them you're a circle. Chicks dig circles.
What?
You said Flat World, and I just went to a Sheldon quote.
Yes.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Oh, man, I'd already made my quota. Now I've broken over my quota of me referencing things no one gets.
No, but props for you being current on Big Bang Theory.
So that's the kids' cheer, everybody. Panda rating.
Pandering rating?
Let's start with you, big bro.
All right.
A scale of 10 sad, 5 sad to 5 happy pandas. We may need to be 10 sad for Garrick.
Yeah.
10 sad to 5 happy pandas. How do you rate this movie?
I feel like we need to explain our rating system again. If you liked the movie at all, it's a question of how much did you like it. If you don't like it, a question of how much did you not like it. So the 5 happy pandas, I would give it a 3.5 happy pandas.
Oh, that poor
I did
panda.
Like the movie.
That's fair.
And I liked it enough to willingly see it twice, and I enjoyed it both times. So a 3.5 is like a 7 something out of 10.
It's an 8.5.
It's like 87 porgs out of a Kessel.
Oh, wow. That's good.
So that's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
How about you, Garrick?
Oh, man.
From 5 sad to 5 happy. Okay, I want to ask you differently.
Okay.
How would you have rated it leaving the theater, and how do you rate it now?
How I would have rated it leaving the theater probably 0 pandas, and then now maybe 1 happy panda, maybe 2 happy pandas, because I let it sink in a little bit, let myself acclimate to what I just saw. So maybe I'm sitting at 2 right now. It depends. I might have to go back. I've heard it's better on a second viewing, so I'm going to have to go see it a second time. So I think I'm banking on a second viewing being better than the...
Yeah, I have to be honest. It kind of bugs me that people are saying they have to pay money to see the movie again because they're not sure how they feel about it.
Yeah, that's kind of the boat I'm in.
So, and I'm there too, but it's just like, should a movie get more money for doing that to you? This Ryan guy's a genius.
Yeah, he is.
It's going to get more movie than Force Awakens because nobody knows what they think about it.
It's a perfect plan.
I was
that
way about
going
those...
according to plan.
I'm that way about those cookies we were talking about earlier. I might need another one. I'm not sure how I feel about the tastiness.
So I left the movie with a sad panda in my heart.
Aww. Uh-oh.
But
how'd he get in there?
My mind knew that it was a good movie, and so I rate it with 1 happy panda.
Yeah, so we're about the same.
Yeah, I think we are. I think we're going to have different hangups, but I think we're about the same. But before we go negative again in our spoiler talk, we'll be talking about why do the fans hate it, and I've got some things to bring up. How about a game? How about some downtime?
Okay.
You guys up for a game?
I'm up.
Anything but Twister.
Aw.
Yeah, that'd be really hard to play since we're all on Skype.
You'll just have to pretend.
I promise, guys, my hand's on the red Scarecrow.
No.
Well, and... I think since we're all still sitting in the kids' chair, which is really awkward at this point because
yeah,
that's
you guys
way
need
over
to get off
and
of me.
We should get off.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Yeah.
I can breathe again.
I got 4 right. Thin Mints. Who took my frickin' Thin Mints?
Would it help to say they're melted?
Melted in my mouth.
Yes. All right, let's play Better or Worse.
Okay.
Whoa. You guys ready? We are playing Better or Worst, The Last Edition. So I'm going to name other movies with that start with The Last or have The Last in the title. And you say if The Last Jedi is better or worse than that movie. Are you ready?
Better.
Worse?
You win!
Ah,
there's no scoring system.
Way to go.
It's not a competitive game.
Aww.
Well, I answered it first because if you ain't first, you're last.
All right.
Ricky Bobby.
First movie... The Ballad of the Last Bobby. No, that doesn't work. I tried. The Last Samurai. Is The Last Jedi better or worse than The Last Samurai?
Well, The Last Samurai was Avatar with not blue people.
Wait, didn't Avatar come out after it, though?
Wasn't that Reverse Dances with Wolves?
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought it was...
Yes, it was Wolves Gully.
Yeah.
The Last Samurai is better.
Garrick?
Oh, man. I really don't like Tom Cruise movies. But I'm going to have to say The Last Jedi was better.
All right.
I guess just because, but I love, that's got Ken Watanabe in it, right? He's the main.
He's good in that
he's
movie.
Really, really good. So I'm conflicted.
Uh-huh. I can
all right, so it's a tie for you.
Yeah, you can't.
I can feel the conflict within you. Let go of your hate.
I'm gonna go the balance path on this. The oh, force nice. In between Ooh. The light and the dark.
No, think
yeah, it's... something that people wanted in this movie that they didn't quite get. another ridiculous fan expectation. All right, The Last of the Mohicans. Better or worse than The Last Jedi? Which one's better?
Mm. Oh, yeah, but now you're going with classic Nathaniel Hawthorne literature.
I'm just following the titles, wherever they may lead. There's some easy ones, don't worry. Just go with your gut.
The Last of the Mohicans is better.
Garrick?
So I've only seen about half of Last of the Mohicans.
I know it's a classic, so...
So you saw The Last of the Mohawk.
Yeah, I saw half of the Mohicans. So I'm gonna
that
say
was the director's cut.
Cut it right down the middle. That's right. And on the, yes. Two sides. Okay. So I'm gonna say The Last Jedi because maybe I should go back and watch it. The Last of the Mohicans. But I guess Last Jedi by default.
Yeah, it's probably a little dated. You do get to see scalpings though. I
think. Oh, you do.
Anyways,
wow.
I believe so. The Last Boy Scout.
Jedi is better.
I don't know. There's that scene at the beginning where he's playing football.
And somebody shoots yeah, someone on the football field.
Yeah, he pulls out the gun. And but, yeah, Last Jedi. It's got to be better than that, right?
Yes. All right, here's a tough one. The Last Airbender.
With the movie?
Yes.
Okay. No. Not if you ask my daughter. It doesn't exist.
Avatar, The Last Airbender.
Oh, that was a horrible movie.
Ah. Yeah. Last See? Jedi's better.
Yeah,
my Avatar down. Reference is prophetic now.
That's
yes, it is.
That's another movie I only saw half of, but for other reasons.
I only saw scenes from it on TV and couldn't make it through a scene.
Oh no!
So you saw
terrible.
The first half of Last of the Mohicans and the second half of The Last Airbender.
Yeah, it makes a great movie, actually.
There's some continuity errors, yeah. But it pays off.
Yeah, about halfway through, it kind of takes a leap I wasn't expecting, but I was on board.
The Last Unicorn.
Is that a movie?
It's an animated movie by the same people who did the animated version of The Hobbit.
Rankin Bass.
Rankin Bass. All right.
Yeah, they
I
all
saw a movie as a kid. That was the first movie I was brainwashed by commercials to see.
They all go into the ocean and turn into whitecaps.
I watched it recently. It is weird. I'm
oh,
saying
yeah, all those
I'm answering if
weird.
You guys can't. The Last Jedi is better than The Last Unicorn.
Oh, by far.
It's got nostalgia, but it's not a good movie. It's weirdo.
Yeah, well, that time I accidentally ate an entire jalapeno has nostalgia doesn't mean I want to do it again.
Although I did get to hear my mom during the part where the wizard is being hugged by the giant tree lady. I did get to hear my mom say in the theater, and I remember this as a 4-year-old, so it's very vivid in my mind. It's like being hugged by Dolly Parton. That's what she said.
How would she know? This guy.
Oh, wow.
36 years ago, that was said in a movie theater, and I remember that.
How would she know?
All right, we're done with my childhood. Last Action Hero.
Oh, Last Jedi's better.
Yes.
That was a fun movie,
that
though.
Was a really
it was
good
a good send-up of Action Hero. It was a great movie for its time.
That was
no,
like
it
a,
wasn't.
That was textbook meta right there. That was a meta movie.
All right, Garrick, I'm going to get you to say that a movie is better than Last Jedi. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Indiana Jones and the Last Crystal Skull.
Oh,
I mean,
no. Oh.
The Last Crusade.
Oh, Last Crusade. Yeah. Yeah. I don't even have to think about that.
Big bro, you concur?
Oh, yeah. Last Crusade. Sean Connery wins all the points.
Oh, yeah.
Junior.
Yeah.
He's named after the
Too bad
dog.
His last movie was not The Last Crusade. It was League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. What a way to go out, huh?
That was his last movie, really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
He's still alive, right?
He can still just cameo something, bro.
Yeah, I'm surprised he hasn't shown up somewhere. Just chilling, I guess.
Be in the next Zombieland. It worked for Bill Murray.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
And he there. Can play any nationality, as we've seen.
Yes, he can.
Scottish, French, whatever.
I'm not Spanish, I'm Egyptian.
I'm Russian.
He was from Africa in League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, I believe. All right. So now we move on from our fun game to spoiler talk. Spoilers! starting by asking, why do the fans hate this movie so much? And here's some main points that I brought up for us to discuss. The first one, that's not my Luke Skywalker.
Like, that's not my president?
Yes. Kinda. And I mean, I remember Mike on y'all's podcast saying very vehemently. Very drunkenly.
Yes, there you go.
How much money he had to drink at that point?
I lost count.
He was saying, you know, if Luke wouldn't kill his father, who had done so many terrible things, there's no way that that same person would then even entertain the idea of killing his nephew.
Right.
And that that was a break in character, and that that made everything about that whole part of Luke's story difficult for him, the same way it was difficult for Mark Hamill at first when he had to when he read the script.
Right, yeah.
Discuss. Talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah, I agree somewhat with that, but again, we don't know what Luke is... Like, we weren't given what Luke had been up to that point. Just all of a sudden we're thrown in, and he's sensing darkness, and he ignites his lightsaber in a fit of, like, I guess, uncertainty, and then puts it back. But or before he puts it back, you know, Kylo wakes up and trashes the place. So it's it's kind of hard to say. Judging from what we know, yeah, that's kind of out of character in my opinion. So I agree with Mike in that respect. But again, maybe if we knew more, if the movie had told us a little bit more, maybe we could have made a better judgment.
But the thing is how many people did Vader kill before Luke reached him? I mean, that's a lot of deaths to be lovingly taking your time with your intervention. And if he felt that Snoke irrevocably had his hands in Kylo's future and was already the puppet master for that moment, and it was just one moment, he may have thought, are there countless lives that I would be equally culpable with their blood on my hands if I don't do this? It's the Batman Joker problem.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah. But the whole story of Luke is about him redeeming his father. And he kind of doesn't, I don't know, we're not really shown that. Have there been redemption steps up to this point? And he's finally like, oh, nope, not going to let this happen again. He's beyond, how did he know he was beyond redeeming? I just don't know.
Well, yeah. So I have two thoughts. One, he didn't know that Vader was his father until all of those deaths had mostly already occurred. So he could not have done anything about those. And secondly, I did have a question as a less informed Star Wars fan, although still a big one, but mostly a cinematic one. In what way did Snoke have control over Kylo that Luke felt he had no other choice?
Exactly.
I know, that's exact. Nobody knows.
Exactly. We have nothing on Snoke yet. Nothing.
Nope.
Nothing.
Nothing at all. And now Snoke has nothing on Snoke.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to that one next, but a little bit more on this discussion. I was thinking about this. Here's how I was brought myself to a place of peace.
Ooh.
With Luke as a character in this movie.
The middle ground.
When he tosses the lightsaber away and you're just like, well, I didn't see that coming. I expected him to be like, how did you find me? Blah, blah, blah. How'd you get that lightsaber?
It's my sweet lightsaber.
Mas Kanata.
What?
No, I don't think so. That's what I was expecting, not just, whew, toss it over. You can almost hear like a comedic sound effect, cartoonish sound effect to that, you know? like one of those whoopee whistles, like, as he tosses it. Okay, let's do this. Put yourself in the position of an unfortunate child whose parents decided to let them watch the prequels first.
Have I called Protective Services?
Yeah. Okay, put yourself in that position. Yoda to you is amazing. How would it feel to see Yoda in Empire Strikes Back after all of that? You know, Ben just said, you must go see Yoda. Oh, man, Yoda's coming back. Did you see all those froggy flips he used to do? Mm-hmm. How wise he was. He was amazing. He's going to start training Luke and it's going to be on. Who is this senile, crazy old man who's a shadow of his former self and doesn't seem to have any of the powers he used to?
Right, and who just likes the noise it makes when he hits you with his stick and just wants Slim Jims.
Exactly. Now, I mean, at some point he turns it around, but I feel like Rian Johnson was trying to do that with Luke for people, and I guess it just didn't get the reception it he was wanting, but I can see where he was going with it. And so for me, it was like, yeah, you know, I kind of get it. If Luke was traumatized by this and then he's been by himself for who knows how many years, he's probably just a little eccentric right now.
Okay, so this brings up another question that I have to ask. Why did Yoda go into isolation?
Garrick?
Oh, he went
in field that one?
Yeah, I guess technically the old canon, he picked Dagobah because of the proliferance of life there that would kind of mask his force signature. Also, there was that cave of darkness that Luke wandered into to fight himself as Vader. So he went into exile to kind of escape the Emperor and then kind of go to meditate into the Force until the next hope, I guess, came along in Luke.
So
right.
So he was more doing sort of a Tibetan monk thing and biding his time and waiting for another opportunity, but not so much out of complete shame and failure.
No, I mean, that was never implied in all the stuff I've read.
I mean, no, it wasn't. I mean, you could assume that onto him and it would make sense, but it doesn't seem like he was ever brought to that point of imbalance.
Because he knew Luke and Leia, one of them would come to him because he's the one who orchestrated them to kind of go into their respective places to live. So he knew eventually probably the Force would bring one of them to him, or maybe Obi-Wan was watching over Luke, and maybe Obi-Wan would bring him to Yoda for training. I mean, that's all legends now, so who knows who knows what they can retcon in now.
Well, I just think yoga.
Yogurt? Just plain yogurt.
He didn't have near the weight on his shoulders, though, that Luke did, as far as the punishing himself aspect.
Well, I mean, I think he could have, because he could have blamed himself for not realizing Palpatine was a Sith Lord. He could have blamed himself for getting duped into fighting in the Clone Wars in the first place, which mm-hmm. they kind of looked back on in the cartoon and realized, wow, we shouldn't have done this. We've really lost our way.
Yeah.
The point is, Yoda's just way too wise and too old to fall into the shame trap. And I think people wanted Luke to be that way, too.
Yeah.
But Luke's Luke. And to be honest, Luke's always had a little bit of the dark side in him. And there are storylines where he goes a little dark, right, Gary?
Yeah, there are. Like, he actually goes full dark side and then is eventually redeemed by Leia. And I was just, I guess, to me, and maybe to other people, the most jarring thing is Luke just gave up. Like, Luke was always this hopeful figure
yes.
that persevered no matter what the odds. He went to go confront Vader. Maybe he kind of was like saying his last goodbyes to everybody because he knew he probably wasn't going to come back. But this one awful thing happens in his life and he just gives up, closes himself off from the Force, goes into exile. And it's just like, wow, I mean, that's not the Luke I knew. The Luke I knew was this paragon of hope. And I guess that's kind of the message of the story, I mean, that we get. But it was just kind of weird to see that way.
And if you want to go even darker than that, you notice that Luke's, the robes he's wearing when he's standing on that cliff, he changes out of those really quickly. And those robes, some people say, were kind of a last rites sort of robes. Like, he was planning mm-hmm. on becoming one with the Force then and there when she showed up.
Yeah.
So he was about to commit suicide.
Yeah, in the visual dictionary, his robes are described as the robes of a Jedi's last rite. Mm. I mean, I guess you can read between the lines there.
Well, as far as the Yoda-Luke comparison, I don't think you can compare the two, because they went into exile not for the same reasons exactly. And Yoda mm-hmm. was already hundreds and hundreds of years old when he chose to go into exile.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, I agree with that. I'm just saying that for me, there's a shock if what you knew somebody and then how you see them in that moment, that it would have been the same for Yoda. And I don't know, somehow that worked for me, even if I can't explain it very well.
No, I get your point. If you'd seen the movies in sequential order, you would think the old senile Yoda was a disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
So I should have watched The Last Jedi first, huh?
Yes.
that's
Garrick,
the problem.
You should have just become a Star Wars fan today.
Okay, starting now.
That was your problem. There's way too much to talk about, so I'm only going to mention this briefly, but along with the that's not my Luke, some people really wanted Luke to just go crazy with awesome Force powers, not just in the shadowy gotcha sort of way.
Yeah.
And they feel like they didn't get enough awesome Master Luke, Jedi Master Luke.
That would have been awesome. It happened in one of the comics where he basically goes like the Force Unleashed type force powers and just takes out a whole battalion of stormtroopers. So we kind of got a little taste of what, you know, his force powers could do. And then in the movie, we're like, oh, I guess he just projects himself and fights with lightsabers.
Yeah, and he's closed himself off to the Force instead.
Yeah. He's not even manipulating the Force through most of the movie anyway. So yeah, it's kind of a disappointment. I mean, I didn't go in expecting a huge display, honestly, but it would have been nice to see.
Well, I think I had the opposite view because when I think of a character like Logan, I didn't mind
Logan.
That he was slower and older and could be hurt because then I identified more with him. He was less this super person that can do anything and more someone that I could relate to. And this Luke was that for me.
Okay.
So if he had abandoned the Force and had closed himself off and clearly hadn't used a lightsaber in quite some time and had no intention of ever doing one again, he was the gunslinger who set his guns down decades ago. And then suddenly he's supposed to just pick up a gun and be more awesome than the best gunslinger out there who's doing it nonstop. And that's what makes the showdown more meaningful is how does the once great gunslinger who had set them down, how does he pick it up again?
A bulletproof vest. I should have seen it coming. I see your point, but let's just agree to Garrick and I hate you now.
Oh, all right. Take that.
Well, since we have a quorum.
By the way. Yeah, we really don't. I mean, we have some disappointments, but we still see it as a good movie, and we don't condone any of the hate that's out there, like
that's
unadulterated rage that's going
uncalled
for.
Everyone
in the cast, racial slurs are being slung out there. Everything.
Yeah, stop it.
All right. Reason number two.
Oh, we're already on number two, are we?
Yes. Breakneck speed here.
Woo, hyperdrive.
I know. Ludicrous speed is what we're going. And I'm quoting Garrick here. It gives The Force Awakens the middle finger.
How?
Or AKA, Luke's lost island is just a dream.
It's all a dream.
What I mean by that is all the fan theories, all the things about where Snoke could come from, whose Rey's parents are. And it's not just fans running wild. It's things that The Force Awakens led us to believe would have a payoff, which is kind of what JJ did with Lost. You know, he set up all these mysteries and then kind of answered them in a way that left the whole fan base really bitter. We have the Knights of Ren. Supposedly they in Rey's flashback, it seems like they were a part of the destroying of Luke's Jedi Temple. And we don't even they're not even mentioned or seen at all.
Mm-mm.
We don't find out. We raised parents just being nobodies. I was actually on board with that, but I can see how people were really disappointed by it. Although, who knows? Maybe Kylo was lying.
Who knows?
But what I said to Garrick was, we heard before the movie came out that Rian Johnson was moving where Kylo's scar happened.
Because
in The Force Awakens, it's like right down the middle of his face and to the side.
Right.
And in this movie, it's moved over and he's doing some cosmetic surgery at the same time.
Right.
So that was his way of saying, yeah, I don't care that much about it, continuity, and we should have seen it coming, but they really didn't care at all is what it felt like about the continuity. And in that way, it seemed like just kind of a football being pulled up from Charlie Brown's foot.
Yoink.
An astrally projected football.
Yes.
You just kicked
that's
right
what it was.
It
was left there, but man, we're so gullible. And it made us feel stupid for wanting all of that stuff. Garrick, do you know what I'm saying?
So, Force Awakens, we get Rey, and nobody knows. She's this huge thing about who her parents are, and it's a big theme in the movie, like, who are her parents? Even to the point where there's a scene in Maz's castle where Maz pointedly asks Han, okay, who's the girl? And they left that line in, and she gets a lightsaber, has a flashback, sees all this stuff that tied to Skywalker and the Jedi and Kylo Ren and all this stuff. So this movie, Force Awakens, was trying to foreshadow something that we didn't get in The Last Jedi, in my opinion. Because there was a lot of clues dropped that she just wasn't a normal person. And then we get Snoke, who we still don't know anything about. Snoke was built up as this big bad guy in Force Awakens, and he was going to be this overarching nemesis. And he basically just eats it halfway through the movie, and we still don't know anything about him or what his overall motivations were except to kill all the Jedi. And there's just a lot of other little things where, I don't know, I felt like JJ was building something up and Ryan's like, nah, I'm knocking it down. I'm doing my own thing. I'm burning it down. I'm starting anew. And
it's like they're playing a game of catch.
Yeah.
And JJ threw the ball to Ryan and he just let it drop to the ground. And then he took out his own ball and is throwing it back to JJ. And now we're just like, what is going to happen?
Yeah, so we know.
Is he going to let that one drop and pull out another ball and be like, or is he going to run over and pick up his own ball and be like, fine, we're not playing
and
with
they
you.
Totally left out Snap Wexley. So there's that. He's nowhere in the movie. I guess he's in a background scene, maybe. But yeah. He's nowhere in the movie. One of the okay. major minor characters.
For me, there's one thing of continuity that I think works and that I liked. When Kylo says in The Force Awakens, I'm going to finish what you started.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's what he was doing in this movie. Slaying the Emperor and taking his place.
Yeah, absolutely.
And in that sense, Kylo's character, I think, was done well. I think the backstory, the way they did it, was really clever and I loved it.
Yeah, I agree. I think Kylo was probably one of my favorite parts in the movie. Kylo and Rey together and Luke, well, Leia, the characters in general, those were all just my favorite parts.
Anything to add, big bro?
What do you think is the direction that this whole plot is going then? I think to me, that was why I didn't mind this film so much, because I'm trying to think of what is the big arc. And if the theme of The Last Jedi was what Snoke said, is I've kept telling my young apprentice that when darkness rises, light rises to meet it. And Luke is always saying the same thing, that there's a balance, and if there's light, there has to be dark. And it seemed to me that what Luke was realizing, or had, I guess, realized decades ago, is this is no way to live, where there's always this versus that, and that versus this. And if they... this arms race, and that the only thing that would really ultimately be good for anyone is mutual disarmament, where we can't have the Jedi Knights and we can't have the Sith and we can't have the, we just can't have any of it, because people keep dying and people keep being hurt and oppressed and their lives are terrible because of the light and the dark in the way that we've chosen to empower ourselves with it. And so all of these themes that come in through the actions and through the dialogue, you know, let the past die, and how did you think this is going to go? I mean, all of that just seems like what Rian Johnson was trying to say is, do you remember how we all didn't like that every two movies we'd have to blow up the Death Star? And it's just so cyclical. It's always the son and the father, and then another son and father, and another Jedi master and student. And it's the same thing over and over and over and over again. And it just gets bigger and bigger. Well, it's a bigger Death Star this time. And it's a worse Jedi student that's turned on you this time. And I loved the fact that Luke said, does no one else see this but me? This really, we have to get off this merry-go-round for any of us to have a shot at anything. And if it takes me not teaching another pupil so that it dies, then I'm willing to not teach another pupil. And so I understand where his, I just want to shut the door on all of this, comes from. Because in his mind, if it took him laying down his gun first, then he saw that as the right thing to do.
Yeah, I agree. That was easily the most powerful part of this movie is...
Yeah,
Luke, when he was training her, I can't remember the exact line, but it was something like, okay, this is the Force. You know, it's not a tool for you. It's not for you to use.
It's basically you don't own it. It's just there and it doesn't depend on you.
I think you said the Force is not a power that you control.
Yeah.
I mean, that's great. I mean, this is the whole kind of Eastern philosophy showing up again, which I love. Just like this ebb and flow against good and evil and... how, you know, kind of the yin yang, and you could even see a actual visual representation in the temple they were training in. There was kind of like a yin yang looking symbol,
right?
So this whole I like that Ryan did the meta look at, mm-hmm. at the movies yeah. themselves, and not just the movies, but maybe the fan base and maybe, you know, everything, all of Star Wars. He just did this meta view of it and said, okay, this is how it's going to be. We need, it's all about balance. All the movies have always been about balance. If you look at the first trilogy, the prequel trilogy, I mean, obviously the light side is the ones in power. And then the second trilogy, the original trilogies, you know, the evil people are the ones in power. And now this third trilogy, he said, I think he kind of looked at it, okay, this is going to be the one where those two become into balance. And that meta overview, I think that's maybe what you're trying to get at as well. But yeah, I like that aspect of the movie.
It is. Yeah. That's exactly mm-hmm. what I'm trying to get at. And if this saga is going to have any kind of conclusion, it can't just be, well, we really dealt them a crippling blow, but we know they're going to regroup. And they wiped out over half of us, but we know we're going to regroup. You know, how many films of that can keep happening? And is the third film in this trilogy going to give us an actual peace, an actual victory that's lasting? And if that's going to happen, it's going to take somebody who had an opinion like Luke's to say, we have to do something differently. The other thing that I noticed, too, that was a recurring theme is the lesson that, was it Lieutenant Hodor? Lieutenant Admiral, Vice Admiral Frodo.
Hordak.
Yeah.
She-Ra's villain.
MODOK?
Hordak.
when she was giving him the Top Gun speech. When Leia was, both Leia and Hodor were basically chastising Poe for being this hothead pilot. You know, you're dangerous, Maverick. And the lesson that they just were so frustrated that he hadn't learned was he was still the short-term thinker. He was still thinking this moment, this battle. It's the same thing that James Bond had to learn in Casino Royale, where if you don't get the big picture, we're never going to win. And in fact, you're going to make it worse. You're going to endanger what we're really trying to do. And Poe learned it over the course of this film, where at the end he was giving the same advice to Finn of, no, Finn, you can't do this one thing. We have to think of the larger effort. So that ties right back into what Luke is saying, only at a different level. So the film keeps trying to tell us this.
See, I don't think either of us have any problem with that, but I think Rian Johnson could have done that just as easily while still playing nice with JJ.
Mm-hmm.
I think he could have included the Knights of Ren. I think he could have listened to what fans were wanting. Okay, this brings us to another reason half the fans hate the movie. The Force Awakens, one of the main complaints was it was too much like Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And the feeling was, all right, here, Rian Johnson, they've heard us. They're not going to do the same thing again. I was surprised at how much of the movie still felt like scenes, even if they did twists on it, how much of the movie still reminded me of scenes from past movies.
Oh, there were lots of throwbacks.
Oh, yeah. The whole throne room scenes.
I just wanted something else. I think we all did. And it's funny because, like, the fans who are just casual fans who are criticizing the Uber fans, they're like, oh, in the last one they complained it was too much like Star Wars. And in this one they're complaining that it's not enough. But we're complaining that it's not enough for different reasons. It's still too much like Star Wars, the way that The Force Awakens was. And that's still infuriating.
Yeah, they even had walkers on
it. Am I overstating it?
No, I think you got it.
Am I overstating that, Garrick?
No, I think you got it. I think, internet rage, say what you will. It's always like this yes or no. It's black or white. But, I mean, it's hard to fit into the cracks. Like, I think we kind of fall in between. Like, we're the balance, like the movie.
Yeah.
But
I was just surprised. It opens with an escape.
Yeah.
You know, they're just kind of like Empire did. There's a throne room scene, kind of like Return of the mm-hmm. Jedi. Holding off the walkers, kind of like Empire. There's a dark place where Rey goes to during her training. I just thought, but then it just became gimmicky. Like, we're going to do all these things, but then every one of them's going to be a twist. Well, their escape is not going to be successful. And Rey's journey into the dark place is not going to be the same as Luke. She's not going to be afraid while she's down there. I don't know why she's not afraid. Well, she's down there. That's a different point. Anyways.
Well, she had company.
That's true. at the throne room scene, things are going to go differently. It was just like, I felt like he was saying, hey, look, it's different. And I was saying, no, it's not. It's not really different. Yeah. Big bro, cheer me up.
Well, I mean, there were some charming throwbacks. I mean,
yes,
Kylo maintained the standing tradition of you kill a bunch of children and then try to get the girl.
Yes, that was smooth moves there, man. Yeah.
So that always works, and yes, it might still. Captain Phasma went out like Boba Fett.
Mm-hmm. Or did she? I want her to be killed in every subsequent movie from here on out. Like, there's just this clone assembly line of her. It's kind of like Timmy and in Mr. Lizard. We're gonna need another Phasma.
I'm wearing a cool helmet. I'm gonna fall now.
Garrick, did you say you want Phasma to come back with an eye patch over her helmet?
Yeah, just put it right over her eye. Like a pirate. She'll look really cool that way.
Nothing like an eye patch. And Loki will be like, it suits you.
Yeah.
When Luke didn't want to rejoin the fight, and then R2 answered him by showing the hologram.
Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah.
That's like he was saying, hey, Luke, remember when you thought your sister was super hot?
Exactly. But see, that's a different kind of moment for me. Like, that's a callback to something from the universe in an Easter egg kind of way. That's different from an entire recreation of a scene. So, too much like Star Wars. Another reason fans hate the movie, it's not enough like Star Wars. But hear me out on this, because this is nuanced, and people are generalizing us. Don't generalize us. All right. Yeah. It doesn't when we say that, we're not talking about events anymore that were like other events. Last Jedi kind of failed us a little bit there. What we're talking about is tone. That the type mm-hmm. of humor used in this, the use of flashbacks, the way the movie played with your assumptions, that's more of a modern day blockbuster feel than a Star Wars feel. Discuss.
There's a lot of sight gags. A lot of sight gags out. And when I mentioned earlier, when I was rolling my eyes, it was mainly at all the sight gags. Like the porgs, the one that I rolled my eyes the hardest at is when they're flying the Falcon and the porg splats against the windshield.
I forgot about that one.
Like it looks like a Garfield movie. Yeah. I was like, oh, man.
You know the merchandising department's going to come out with those for your car windows.
Oh, they're already out. I've seen them.
My goodness.
It came out before the movie came out. Yeah, they have suction cups on their wings and everything. Yeah, so that, I mean, just general things. Finn walking around with water just jutting mm-hmm. out of him. I mean, just little things. I'm just like, why did they leave that in?
And there was a substitution of the idioms of their universe, like laser brain and nerf herder and tear the ears off a something, Gundar?
Yeah, Gundar.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There's those types of phrases which were replaced with please hold, or I'll hold, which is modern RTOC. And that one took me out of it. I was like, what? Do they have phones in their universe? Do they have
Poe said, that's a big A door.
Yeah.
But he didn't say A.
Yeah.
He said something.
It made the writing feel uneven to me because it felt like it wasn't respecting what some authors have tried really hard to do and others have not.
And the second biggest scene was when they're talking. Snoke's been obviously cut in half. And they're just talking and his top half just randomly falls on the ground. I'm like, was that needed? I mean...
Would that even have happened? I thought the back of him was still... I thought it stabbed in the middle and pulled forward. Let's recreate
this.
Big bro, come over here. Let me get a blowtorch.
But they're not something that necessarily ruined the movie.
No,
but they
don't
kind of
feel
built
like,
on each other.
Yeah.
It was like we took Kylo to the Darth Maul and the tops fell off of his Snoke cone.
Everything half off.
Yeah. So, I mean, the saying that the tone, that's kind of a subjective thing, but I'm not gonna fault people who felt like that's not my Star Wars because of the tone. I see their point there. It didn't bother me too much, but I totally get it. All right, I've got two more. Why do fans hate it? This one is called That's Not How the Force Works, a.k.a. How to Train Your Jedi.
Okay.
How to Train Your Jedi.
So, apparently Rey doesn't need any kind of training at all because the light side is just going to make her as powerful as Kylo is.
I actually don't have a problem with
it. Okay. Explain.
I have headcanon.
Yes.
Because there's no, I mean, really there's no, I mean, that they kicked out all the old canon.
Yeah.
And now the new canon, they really haven't explored the Force that
no,
much.
No, not at all. Hardly at all.
So I think I see it. Okay. There's, if you watch the Clone Wars, they have the Mortis arc. And if you're mm-hmm. interested, you should go out and watch
yeah.
it. But it's basically like there's embodiments of the light side and the dark side of the Force.
In a brother and sister.
Yeah, they're brother and sister. So in this movie, the Force wants, I guess, an outlet, even though, regardless of what Luke says. So the Force is going to find an outlet. And I think if there's a lack of outlets, the more powerful people will become. That's just my headcanon, so I don't know. But again, that's kind of not a valid argument because we really don't know how the Force works nowadays. I mean, we just don't know.
So did it bother you at all that there's no more talk of the avoid hatred, do not have fear because those lead you down to the dark side of the Force? Like, none of that type of instruction was given to Rey. And up to this point, every time you see Rey fight, it seems like she's tapping into hatred.
No. I don't. Really?
Good for you.
Yeah.
Well, Luke did tell Kylo that if you strike me down in anger,
yeah,
I'll always be with you. So, I mean, it's not...
Obviously, it didn't work. It never works because people get angry and go dark no matter what. So I don't think Luke maybe got to that point because he was only going to give her three lessons. Yeah. You know, obviously, I should have been one of the first.
Three, so.
Yeah, yeah. But then, I mean, she goes down into this pit... And it's supposed to be the place where the dark side is. And I guess instead of being afraid of it, it was more enticing her. So it was tempting her in a different way that it challenged Luke. But, and this is kind of off the side to the side. But in the middle of that, you're like, what is going on? And then she starts narrating over it.
Yeah, that was she talking to Kylo there?
Yeah, but you don't know at first. But suddenly you're like, well, she made it out okay. And now she's saying she's not afraid during this, and it just totally broke the tension of that scene for me. Mm-hmm. Big bro, am I unfair mm-hmm. in that?
Well, the two things I didn't understand in there is if the dark side yanked her down into that cave, which was basically the pool that Thor took a bath in.
Yes.
And and wanted her to go to Harry Potter's mirror to see her parents.
I thought she was going to find a Voldemort's Horcrux.
Then...
in my pocket.
Then what exactly was the dark side trying to tell her?
I think that scene is visually interesting and it's so confusing it does nothing for the plot except tell you that she still doesn't know who her parents are and that bothers her, which we knew beforehand. Mm-hmm. And then now she's telling Kylo and they have a moment.
Right. So that was the part that I didn't get, because when you compare that to Empire, Luke's lesson that he needed to learn, which is if he does not complete his training, and if he rushes off, he could end up being another Vader, which is what that vision showed him.
Mm-hmm.
And so he came out of there knowing, okay, this is something I have to be aware of. This is a big risk. If I go down this path, this is where it leads. But I didn't see where Rey came out of her experience learning a particular thing. So I thought, well, the dark side's going to yank you down into a come listen to me room, then why didn't it say something bigger?
Well, I guess the answer to that, headcanon, you can tell me if you agree or not. That's my name for you right now, Garrick.
All right, headcanon, like it.
I guess my answer to that would be this dark place isn't working the same way Luke's did because Snoke is all up in it. And so he's just giving her something that's going to help her connect more with Kylo, which is going to bring her to him.
Wait, Snoke is in that particular pit?
Like, Snoke's presence is there. Snoke is influencing her. He's the one connecting them, so he's able to reach to her. So he's doing whatever is happening with the dark side there, as opposed to just its own entity.
Oh, see, I didn't get that at all.
But see, yeah. But until you hear that it was all part of Snoke's plan, that meant he wanted her to ask about her parents again and not get an answer again. So that would help her feel alone the way that Kylo feels alone and they could connect. Why am I helping this movie be better? Dang it. That works for me now.
Well,
crap.
Yeah. But see, the thing is the first thing I thought is, okay, Luke went to the place where he said, you know, the most unfindable place in the galaxy. But then you realize mm-hmm. that it's basically the original Jedi Holy Ground.
Yes.
And then you see the Hellmouth, and which is where I came up with
the Sarlacc pit
with Scruffy the Empire Slayer.
Nice. I like it.
Because I thought, why of all the places would you choose to live above the Hellmouth? And then you realize, well, the Jedi tree is there.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we can't help but think, okay, of all the talk of balance, this island is itself the ultimate expression of balance. It has both the Jedi tree and the Hellmouth.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I thought, do they connect? I mean, do the roots of the Jedi tree reach so far down that the vines of the Hellmouth connect to it? And are they actually one entire entity? And does this metaphor reach that far? And then I was really hooked into what kind of direction this was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And even when Yoda destroys the tree, I thought, ooh, what does this do to the Hellmouth? Because I was convinced that there was that there was this connection, like the twins and Hellboy the Golden Army, you know?
Yeah.
And so I was just completely fascinated by that. So I think a lot of the complaints that some of the other moviegoers have had went right over my head, because I was so enthralled in my own head trying to be ahead of predicting what this all meant, because I was convinced that that's how it worked. And as far as, you know, how much force Rey has and how much light's pulling her and where it comes from, because I assume we're all done with the blood disorders now.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. That's not how the Force works.
Okay.
Yes.
Then where do the current viewers get off saying, well, that's not how the Force works, because they didn't like the three prequels the way the Force worked. And so we're just not even admitting that anymore. And so I don't see how people get to say, well, it works this way or that way when we've been through that. But in my own way of looking at it, even if you look at the title of The Force Awakens, most of us, I think, assumed that Rey already had it and it just awakened in her, in the same way a mutant was already a mutant.
Yeah, she says that as much.
And she says that.
She always had it.
However, what if it's more like what you just said, Garrick, that if the Force needs an outlet, it will choose someone. Whether they prior had any reason at all to be connected to this or not, they've just, like the way a Green Lantern ring knows who to choose.
Yeah.
And Rey was chosen. So The Force Awakens meant that the Force itself awakened a little bit more and then chose someone. So it's more describing the Force being active, like the Force chose Rey, the Force steals your Fruit Loops, the Force jacks your car. The Force goes to Washington.
Oh,
you know, it's the Force.
Mr. The Force goes to Washington.
I'd watch that. Better than The Last Jedi.
Right. and so I walked out of the theater trying to race ahead, predicting where all of this was going, because if it is this mutual disarmament thing, and if this tree root does actually extend and touch the dark vines, maybe they've both just decided, the Hellmouth and the tree, that this is just not the way that the universe should work. And we're just going to stop it all.
I love that idea, but Garrick and I have been peeking behind the curtain of production, and we know that so far there was no overarching story from the beginning. And so I'm just left with this feeling of not trusting where it's going.
Hmm. Yeah. And who knows what JJ might, because he's directing the next and last in the trilogy, he might totally switch gears and go back to it. He was originally planning. So all this might be for naught.
Or they might have worked something out. I mean, it's just we don't know, and the fact that there were things that didn't carry over, even if it wasn't the way we want, there were some things that were just flat out ignored, the scar again. I'm just going back to say it's just created this feeling of dis-ease for fans who wanted a nice, tidy trilogy. We've hit a midpoint where we just don't trust them anymore, and we're disappointed by that.
And again, going into The Force Awakens, I was telling myself, okay, you can't judge this movie entirely on its merits, because it's part of a three-part set, and you can't judge all parts until you have the whole set.
Yeah.
So hopefully, you know, this movie, my rating may go substantially up if the next movie kind of brings both movies into it and kind of puts a nice cap, makes a cohesive storyline through all three of them. So I don't know. Well, I'm that's why I always have troubles judging these movies, the trilogy movies, because just can't do it until you have all three.
Yeah. I think the other weird thing, and I don't say this was a fan hate thing, but this is just something to bring up. This one doesn't end the way Empire does, in the sense that it feels a lot like there's a lot more closure as opposed to a cliffhanger. I mean, the cliffhanger is, how is the Resistance going to survive when they can all fit on the Millennium Falcon?
Yeah. And where was Snap? Was he there?
Was he on the Falcon? Did he make it?
Hashtag where's Snap?
They're
going to wave at everybody that's on Thor's ship?
Yeah, I think so.
Meet up with the Guardians?
Yeah. But
stop Thanos and Kylo?
But I think it's funny because it's like, you didn't answer the questions we wanted, but you also answered way too much, and now we don't know what we have to look forward to.
Yeah.
We don't know what's supposed to be burning inside of us that we want to see fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
Except for Kylo to get his comeuppance.
Now, yeah. I will say
he's gonna get
that
it.
A chronic problem the Star Wars movies have is they kill their good villains.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the same way that Marvel has a tough time coming up with the good villain. Star Wars will create one and then cut them in half.
Snoke has spider legs. Hashtag Snoke spider legs.
Oh, canon. And a robot arm because he got cut off too.
Oh, good call.
I at least wanted to know who he was before he bit it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was a big
complaint. You already said you were disappointed by that too. With that in mind, are you afraid of the First Order at all, besides the fact that they have a lot of military power?
Mm.
Do they present to you an insurmountable odds when you look at their leadership, both before, during, and at the end of this movie?
Basically, Hux is incompetent, so not really.
And we haven't seen Kylo show any sort of strategic mind.
No.
I mean, I know this is nitpicky, but Emperor Palpatine outthought the rebels, you know, in Return of the Jedi. He just didn't account for some space bears or that Vader would betray him.
Yeah.
Thrawn, in the Thrawn trilogy.
I knew it.
He outthought the New Republic, but he didn't account for the Nogri warriors changing sides or that his bodyguard would betray him. Yes. Thank you for clarifying. Space lizards. Snoke. Yeah. What a moron. He didn't outthink them. He's just chasing them through space when he could have sent some ships ahead, you know, light speed ahead, just a little bit, and sandwich them.
Or send out his fighters, which are faster than capital ships.
Yeah. Oh, they're not going to go past this range. Why not? It's not like they had any defensive capabilities. So I just felt like, I don't know who Snoke is, and Kylo and Hux just don't, you said it. They don't scare me at all.
I think Snoke should have been on the throne about to say who he was, and then his name is
brothers, sisters, nephews, uncles, former roommate. I
knew does that it. Make us
perhaps he was dictating. His name isn't see, you said it
I
too.
Hope our listeners are keeping up with us. I hope our listeners are keeping up.
So many references.
Yeah. But on the flip side, I kind of felt like the leadership on both sides were kind of dumb in this whole movie, and it served a plot purpose, but it irked me because all of the tales that happened there
in their flying Chaucer.
Yeah, all of that stuff. It was so purposeless. And all it accomplished was more of the Resistance dying.
Mm-hmm.
And I left the theater and I looked at my friend and I was like, wait a second, if Haldo had just told Poe, I mean, granted, she didn't have any right to, but she should have known that he was a wild card and been like, dude, I got this, bro, trust me, instead of just like, keeping her mouth shut like she was on trial. She could have just said, I have a plan, we're going to get out of this, trust me. But instead, she let him keep believing she was incompetent, and that just bothered me. Like, if she has so much experience, you know, it felt like a plot contrivance.
Mm-hmm.
It did. And why did they send the other ships into hyperspace in different directions?
Yeah, because
they could only track one ship at a time, and I guess apparently they had enough for one jump. So just send them different places.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I missed something in there. I don't know.
Right. And granted, if we look back through the original trilogy, we're not going to see a whole lot of strategery. But this is a situation that merits it.
Yes. This is you got time. You got distance. Now you got to, you have time to think about how you get out of this. But it just seemed to me like, oh, we're just going straight to the planet. That's it. Bye. Here we go.
So, do you agree with us on that one, Big Bro?
She could have taken him to a side part of the room and said, look, here's what I'm doing because I know that you're the kind of fly in the ointment that can ruin everything, but I'm not going to say this to you in front of everybody else.
Right.
Yes.
And it's like, how much of this did she just keep to herself? Because even, I was about to say Leia's daughter, like Carrie Fisher's daughter.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Helped them do their mutiny. Yeah, it just didn't work for me. I just left the theater and I sent Garrick a message and it said both sides were morons the entire movie.
Yeah. Is it because Ackbar died?
Yeah.
He's the real brains behind the entire operations at all times. Because he could sense traps.
Yeah.
Yes.
Everywhere.
See, you know what I always wanted to see from Ackbar was for him to set a trap.
Ooh.
And have the Empire then fall into it. And then right before the jaws close, he leans forward on screen and goes, it's a trap.
And then he drops the mic.
And drops, yeah.
And he dabs.
And just walks off the bridge.
He just scoots his chair back. Eats a fish stick.
Some fried calamari.
That's cannibalism.
Calamari.
I'm okay with that. I really wanted Chewie to bite a porg. I really wanted him to just be like,
that's so wrong. Like, I'm hungry.
This scene's sponsored by Boston Market.
Delicious.
Yeah.
With the heavy Puss in Boots reference of the little eyes looking up at him. So,
do we want to go back to Cantabite?
I can't abide doing that.
I can't abide by it.
I can't abide another pork. I'm Sean Connery. I'm stuffed. There's still a lot of things that I liked. I still have happy beeps about this.
Sure. Let's sprinkle those back in. Again, we all rated it positively overall. And we're saying these hang-ups because I think I was just surprised by how many there were going to be. Anyways, go on.
I mean, I was curious. I mean, I know I told you before we started recording, I didn't want to know what your thoughts were. I didn't expect the opinions that you both have. I figured you would cover the fan reactions. So I've somewhat just been listening to the two of you need validation. But
it's not so much validation. It's more just like group therapy.
Okay.
I want to like it so much. I do.
I really think I'll like it when I go back to theaters with my wife,
mm-hmm.
my esposa.
That's Spanish for wife.
Thanks.
Yeah. Translated that pretty quick.
Wow. Technology.
I know, right?
I did the thing where I took my little notebook into the theater, and so I have all these scrawled little stream of consciousness kind of notes, and one of them was Star Wars hates fat pilots.
That's not untrue.
Yes.
<'Cause> right in the opening scene, that one poor guy. Die, new Porkins.
Yeah, poor guy.
I feel like that alien guy with the long face is the new Wedge. Like, he makes it through mm-hmm. all three movies.
Oh, yeah.
He's the new Wedge.
Asti?
Yes. Asti Nyushoreceivski.
That's his name.
I thought when BB-8 was talking to Poe and Poe says, Finn, naked, leaking bag, I thought, careful, you'll trigger Space Bucky. He's the splinter soldier.
Yeah, I thought that joke worked. I thought some of the jokes worked. That one was pretty funny. Because you always wonder what they're beeping. I also actually liked the language joke with R2, where he pulls a Captain America. Hey, Sacred Island. Because we know that R2's got a potty mouth, and that just confirmed it.
Yeah, well, and so does BB-8. Do all tiny droids say the swears?
They're like chihuahuas. They have a complex.
Yes.
Brother, did you think BB-8 in the AT-ST was awesome?
Yes.
Good.
So
good
much better than a teddy bear.
Good for you.
Yeah. I'll give you that, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Way better than teddy bears.
I did like when Snoke was saying, oh, the mighty Kylo Ren, when I found you. And in my head, I was like, in Greenland. Unemployed.
You were so slobbering drunk, you couldn't buy brandy.
Or blue milk.
Yeah, that's true. I like that Snoke was like a lot more manipulative. I liked that about him.
Oh, yeah.
That he was just flat out a manipulator. He was pulling everyone's strings, and nobody was he confiding in, not even Kylo. Like, no, that was just
Snoke's words gave emo Vader sad Ben Affleck face. They hurt.
I wonder if you dissed any other part of his attire, if he would have destroyed it. You call that a cape? Ooh, he's like tearing it to shreds while he's crying in his room.
Snoke doesn't like my cape.
I'm making all the wrong fashion choices.
Take off those ridiculous boots. Who are you? Gene Simmons?
He said they didn't make me look fat. Which reminds me, I'm just going to totally steal a joke from Plumbing the Death Star podcast, where they're like, if the Force is always bringing balance, does that mean Rey could just let herself go and start stuffing herself with food and then Kylo would just start getting fat?
Yes.
Sucker.
That's how she can defeat him.
Just eat and eat.
I did think that when Rey was following Luke around the island and he was just trying to get her to go away, that he started just being gross Yoda.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah, that was gross.
I'm going to drink straight out of this animal until you go away.
What the heck was that?
Yeah, I mean, at least he didn't drink straight from the tap.
Yeah, it's a small victory.
About 3 seconds worth of difference there.
Yeah.
I did like that the Jedi texts would whisper to you, you know, these, generation-old books.
It was kind of like a song.
Yeah.
Like a little bit, like a siren song, calling her to the books.
They're Jedi audiobooks.
Nice.
You just listen to them on the way home.
Yeah. They're all inaudible. You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
Okay, someone had to point this out to me because I didn't realize it, but she actually took the books.
They're in the drawer.
And
so Falcon.
Yoda totally led Luke to believe that they'd burned.
Yep.
What a jerk. Even now.
Only from a certain point of view.
Yeah, that's true. Man, Yoda.
Not like they would lie to him about who his father is for years.
That's true. Yoda didn't lie. That was all Ben. Everyone gets one good lie, and it's got to really count.
Yoda had to use his after he died.
I wonder what Rey's going to be. Oh, I know you're saying all your happy stuff now, but so Finn's making a beeline towards the...
That's over.
Finn's making a beeline towards the Death Star tech. Yay, we get another Death Star.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I can't not have
which,
a Death Star.
Which, by the way, did anyone else catch the metaphor that the thing that the heroes were afraid of at the end was going up against Death Star cannon?
Yes. Hee-oh. And how about, and again, the First Order, you know, let's drop here and then drag it for a while.
Right.
Yeah. Who's in charge? Okay, so Finn's making a beeline towards the Death Star tech while Rose is retreating in the opposite direction with everybody else. How did she get back to him? The physics of that.
She like, still had her ski down.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, that's just... Like, there's absolutely no way that she can catch up to him.
And maybe she used the Force.
I thought that was going to be an awesome sacrifice that was going to blow us all away. And I was ready for it. And I'm glad we got Luke instead. But it was that movie magic logic that just destroyed me. It really did, that scene.
It was the Force.
Oh, good call. Anyways, never mind. I'm over it.
Over it.
Cheer me up with more of your quips.
Okay. During the first training with Luke and Rey, where Luke had the green leaf, and he said, reach out, and she reached out her hand.
I love
and
that.
He smacked it.
That was hilarious, I'll admit.
It made me wonder, did Yoda do the leaf slap thing to Luke?
He definitely hit him with a stick plenty of times.
I mean, Luke went out there with the leaf in his hand already.
Oh, yeah.
So that's just that sort of... I guess if you're a Jedi Master and you're on an island for a long time by yourself, you just get snarky.
Mm-hmm.
But it also raised for me like the serious question of, so I know that there's the Jedi Tree and the Hellmouth, but isn't it still dangerous to be near a Hellmouth of any kind when you're somewhat broken and vulnerable?
No.
Yeah.
Not if you're shutting yourself off from the Force, then you're not, don't feel the pull.
I guess, but it's like saying, I shut myself off from drugs, so I'm going to live in a crack house.
Or right above a crack house.
I've tried it. It doesn't work.
Oh. Oh, I didn't. You should move out.
I meant the Force Island thing, not the crack house thing.
Oh,
gosh, guys.
Oh, lighten up. Jeez.
Still, I did love that we got Yoda.
Yeah, I didn't mind Yoda. Even though he was not quite the puppet he used to be, I was still okay with it. I liked it. I didn't.
Yeah, it was all right.
I didn't think he was out of character necessarily, so I was fine with it. I geeked out when I saw him because I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah, I've heard rumors, but yeah. I forgot him.
Yeah, exactly. In the movie at that point, I was plenty mad at other things to remember Yoda. I'm just kidding. I wasn't that mad while I was watching it. The thing for me is, I left Force Awakens going, wow, I can't wait to go back into the theater and see it. And the same thing with Rogue One. And I was just sad that that wasn't how I left this movie.
Yeah.
Well, I was watching that scene and I was just watching Rey just believe so hard.
Yeah. And I feel something.
Yeah. And it was so much like the Empire Strikes Back Luke. I mean, he was all about, I have to get back to the battle. I have to save my friends. I have to do these young person things. And here's this old Luke. And I was thinking, he's the new Yoda. And right as I was thinking that, Yoda appears. And I was so happy because I realized I have Force powers. And then I realized I just wasted it on this.
Oh, man.
I could have, like, moved a paperclip or something tangible.
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
But it was Puppet Yoda, and it was Frank Oz.
Yeah. You could have force-pulled a cookie into your mouth.
Ooh.
And I wanted Puppet Frank Oz Yoda to teach Luke more things, like near and far.
Up and down.
And is there a monster at the end of this trilogy?
Did you want him to serve him soup?
Yes.
A waiter? There's a fly in my soup. Sorry, I am. Be right back, I will.
I mean, honestly, I would have paid three of my $10 of this movie just for the scene where Yoda hits Luke with a stick again. That brought me so much childhood joy. And even amongst everything that I read about, oh, this destroyed my childhood, or this robbed my childhood, this gave me childhood joy to see Puppet Yoda hit Luke with a stick in just that way. But yeah. Then I started to think, well, okay, so Yoda's here, but where was he all the other times where he could have been helpful?
Yeah.
And where's Obi-Wan? And where's Anakin, for that matter? Like,
yeah.
What? And then I got a little distracted because I was thinking, what do Force ghosts do when they're not hitting people with sticks?
Yeah.
They're in a field playing baseball.
Somewhere in the Midwest.
Yeah. With all the little baby Jedi that Anakin murdered.
Yeah.
Oh.
In the outfield, just not paying attention to the game. But then that raises another question of what happened to the handful of students that Kylo took that he didn't murder?
Yeah, that's supposedly the Knights of Ren.
Yeah.
Well, where are they?
Exactly.
I don't know.
Preach into the choir.
I wish I knew.
Because I thought momentarily they might be the Red Guard, Snoke's
no,
Red Guard.
No, yeah.
Well, I said momentarily. Yeah, I put yeah, my yeah. saber away. You let can't me, hold it against me forever.
Let me just jump on you, though, so I can feel self-righteous indignation. Isn't that what this whole podcast has been about?
Not sure
yeah,
anymore.
Pretty much.
I feel like there are things about this movie that are disappointments that can be gotten over that will make it a better movie on future watchings. But I also think that your rating is fair, and it's not the best of movies. You've rated a lot of fives on this show.
Mm-hmm.
Spider-Man Homecoming, you rated a five. Can you think of others that you've rated fives
Civil
on
War?
Show?
Are you
Civil
kidding
War?
Me?
Civil War, yeah. Amazing.
Logan.
Kubo and the Two Strings.
Kubo.
Oh, yeah.
Kubo. So good.
And season one of Stranger Things.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, some of these were movies that had hype and they lived up to it. Why? People say there's no way that Star Wars can do that. And I say, look at Marvel. They've done it. I think this movie could have done it and it didn't. And I'm just concerned because how little help people are getting, it seems, in the writing room.
Yeah.
And that's what's ruining it.
You know who's credited as the writer of this movie?
Ryan
Johnson. That's it. Just Rian Johnson.
Just Rian
Johnson. All the other Star Wars movies that have been written had at least two or three other writers to help, maybe Kasdan or Lucas himself or mm-hmm. or any number of people. You know, JJ had Kasdan brought in to help, but this one was only Rian Johnson. And I think to have a sounding board of another writer, he might have had it, but they obviously didn't get any credit. Would have been, I think, very beneficial for
him. Man, I hate to say it, but that's what makes this movie feel some ways, and I mentioned it before, like the prequels.
Yeah.
Clunky dialogue, plot lines that seem just kind of out there and purposeless that aren't very satisfying, and it's because there's one person doing it.
Yeah, it's hard to do both, to direct and write solely by yourself.
Yeah, so all that to say, people who are upset with those who are disappointed with the movie are like, it would have never lived up to your expectations, and I think it can. I think it could have. I think other movies have done it, and this one could have.
There are movies that surpass people's expectations. Yeah. Logan did it.
Yeah, Logan did it. And we absolutely. Yeah. But I'm going to look at Civil War as the pinnacle. Because mm-hmm. that had so much to live up to. And I went in thinking, there are so many characters in this movie, there's no way it's going to work. And it was amazing. And how am I watching this movie and thinking, wow, there's too many characters. They are not juggling this very well.
I knew it. I knew you'd come around on Civil War.
Huh? Well, no, 4.5. Still there.
Oh, happy he's pandas. Still 4.5.
I've drawn my line in the sand. You will never get that half panda from me. It got chopped off by Kylo Ren and burned with the ship.
Drawn your line in the salt.
Yeah. Yeah. Holdo's sacrifice scene, though. Ah.
That was my favorite scene.
So I didn't know what to think of her. I thought at first she was the tether that Hux was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That she was the traitor, and that's how they would be able to follow them through hyperspace.
Yeah, and you stinking guys on Fly Casual had me totally believing that she was going to be antagonistic to Leia and trying to bid for power while she was down and out.
Yeah. That was the rumors, anyway. I know. I didn't think that.
Sure. You still nodded. You acquiesced.
However, yes, her sacrifice was great, but I would rather had that been Ackbar's.
Why did you have to say that? I almost cussed.
It's a try. Boom. And it fades out into silence.
And I don't think the voice actor dying would have mattered.
No.
But I think some people can do a good Ackbar impersonation. I don't think they needed to just scrap him and have him die off screen, basically, because I didn't even see it happen.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, if they can just shoot something in hyperdrive at something else, they should do that all the time.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Why do you need a Death Star when all you can do is program a box? Yeah. To go at light speed at something.
Yeah.
Why don't torpedoes do that?
You could have put a protocol droid on the bridge.
Yes.
And push the lever to go into hyperspace, but I guess that wouldn't have been as symbolic.
Put it on your old iPad mini, anything. Just shoot it.
Tie a rubber band to a wheel, a mouse trap.
Yeah. Is there no way to remotely do it either? I mean, it worked for Captain Kirk's dad. Because the autopilot had failed, and so they couldn't plot the course.
But when you're that handsome, you can do almost anything.
Yeah, he's Thor.
But it harkens back to, you know, the other thing that I gripe about is that science fiction movies often don't take advantage of the tech that they establish in that world. It's the Voltron problem.
Yep.
Of, you know, the Pacific Rim. Like, oh, we had this sword? Well, I guess since we're all really about to die as a species, now I'll use it. And so, like Star Trek, the transporter, that should be a weapon.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
They should be able to say, yeah, we're going to beam you on this ship, and then take all their atoms apart. The end. That's Taylor Swift.
They'll never know. That's how I want to go.
And turn them into dinner that night.
Taylor Swift?
Just rearrange them.
Wait, where's this joke going?
She is never, ever, ever going to put you back together.
I knew it was going to be good.
So the thing that I thought you guys would really harp on, and you haven't mentioned at all, was Mary Poppins Leia.
Oh, I've seen that. I've seen people rag on that so much already. I didn't feel like we needed to do it too.
Well, the only thing that I felt at that moment was that it was so Yondu from Guardians of the Galaxy
mm-hmm.
that as she was floating out in space and the crystals were starting to form on her face, I said, oh no, you can't be doing the Yondu thing. And then after the whole scene was over where she, you know, force floated herself back onto the ship.
Mm-hmm.
I felt if she had died right there, I would have thought that would have been an honorable death and a really meaningful one, too, because in that moment she was prepared to accept that her son was going to kill her. And then for him not to do it and then for someone else to do it right over Kylo's shoulder, had she actually died, that might have been a moment much like Loki where it was the death of his mother that affected him.
Right.
That it was that someone else killed his mother.
And that's what
that
threw him off balance, not killing his
dad. That would throw him off balance and make him turn against Snoke and the whole path that he's been on.
Mm-hmm.
Or if someone had on the rebellion side said, we are not going to let General Leia's body just float out into space, and had somehow taken a little ship out there and gotten her and brought her back in. And then through the Force, she was able to not be dead, but
which
at least
totally
they
possible.
Were the ones. Right. Mm-hmm. Then that would have been less cheesy.
Yeah, that's what I expected. I mean, Garrett can tell you there's plenty of canon, old and new, about Jedi being able to hibernate.
Yeah, that's all thrown out. But yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, it's the Force. You can do whatever you want nowadays.
Yeah.
So she probably, I mean, there's protective Force bubbles that have been used to survive vacuum for a limited amount of time. And
mm-hmm.
I have no problem with her using the Force. It's just the visual was not appealing of her.
Yeah. The particular body position and the way that her cloak flowed was, you know, you couldn't help but kind of roll your eyes a little bit at that.
It looks like she was just standing still in and it was like one of those old-timey movies where they just move the background behind you while you're standing.
Yeah.
And she's like whistling and moving her arms up and down.
Yeah.
But so here's the thing that I don't understand of the fan backlash of that's not how the Force works.
Sure.
In 77, none of us knew how the Force worked. So we just accepted anything that a Jedi did.
Mm-hmm.
So when Obi-Wan vanished out of his cloak, Vader stepped on his cloak as if he was surprised that it just happened.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
That was a new secret.
So Vader himself was never taught, if you advance to this level of Jedi-ness, you can do this. So even among the elite Jedi, there were still secrets that not everyone was privy to. So I don't understand the backlash here when Luke does something that we haven't seen prior, because Luke is an older master Jedi and he has the texts there. My assumption was that if that's not something that had been taught to him, it's certainly something that he read and can now do because of his years of being immersed in the Force.
Yeah.
In fact, they even set this up earlier when Rey and Kylo are space-timing each other. And he says, you're not doing this. The effort would kill you.
Right, right, right.
So we get to the end of The Last Jedi, and the trick is revealed, and we see that it's used up all of Luke's strength, even Luke himself, which bears out the statement of, if you do this, it would kill you. And
well, yeah, because he had to keep not only himself in some kind of illusionary corporeal form, but also the dice.
Yeah.
Right.
Sorry.
Why can't he bring...
to be honest, that one didn't bother me at all. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah. I don't agree with that's not how the Force works, because people
right.
who say that obviously... A, haven't probably read the books, or B, played any of the video games.
Oh,
yeah. The Force.
Yeah.
The in the Force Unleashed video games, which were at one point considered canon, you would think this stuff in this movie is child's play compared to the stuff that happened in that, that game.
like bringing down a Star Destroyer all by himself with the Force.
Yeah, with the Force, whilst holding off waves of TIE fighters, also with the Force. So, yeah,
see?
I mean, the Force varies how it's used, the magnitude of the power from novel to novel, from game to game, from movie to movie. I mean, there's no set barrier.
But, yeah, I'm with you on that. I thought there's a lot of stuff that I think fans were oversensitive to. But I get why. After a while, some of these things that we mentioned just kind of steamroll and you start seeing everything as a slight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you could get to a certain point. I mean, I know when I watched the Richard Lester version of Superman 2 as opposed to the Richard Donner version. Some of his slapstick, still to this day, I just wish wasn't in there. So when I've gone through an hour and a half of some of that that I don't like being in there, and then we finally get to the end battle where Superman's fighting Zod and everybody in his fortress, and all of a sudden Superman has all these powers we've never seen before. You know, he can throw the cellophane S off of his chest.
This is a great analogy.
Yeah.
And he can vanish from one place and appear in another. So yet again, he has magic Loki powers, and he can appear over there, and he can make six versions of himself, and one of them is an ice sculpture for no reason.
Ooh, cool.
With full clothes on. And you're just shaking your head of what is this, and how is he just suddenly able to do this? And then the deeper questions happen later after you've seen it, and you're thinking, well, if he could do this, why didn't he do that in Metropolis during the first battle?
Yeah.
And so these things start to not make sense, but a lot of it, I think, was because it worked me up into a particular mindset by the time it happened, and so I was a little more open and raw.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, man, I don't know. I think there are some people who are saying this is the worst Star Wars movie ever.
That can't be true.
You haven't seen Attack of the Clones?
That's impossible!
Yeah. And all I have to say to them is, I've died a little bit each day since your tweet entered into my life. Wow. I mean, you've got to recognize the technical achievements. And the people who are that upset with it, I feel bad for them, but I'm not going to be the one to tell them that they're not justified in feeling that way. Because all the things that I mentioned that bothered me, I can understand why each of those would bother other people a whole lot more. And I thought it was a good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only part to me that felt like the prequels is that whole, we have to go off to the casino, we have to find this code breaker. That much I get. But then for them to go, let's save the animals and let me take time that we don't have to get childhood closure and run these animals through the casino and punch my fist through this whole beautiful town and all of that, besides the fact that that was the worst CGI of the whole film.
Yeah.
That felt very prequel-y to me. We don't have time for this. This is a long, extended mini-adventure that we should not be doing.
If they really wanted to get after them, they would have got the hacker to, like, hack all their bank accounts and empty them out before they left. They needed to Mr. Robot that thing.
Oh, yeah. 5-9 it.
That would have been awesome. Because what they did doesn't hurt anybody. They're just going to rebuild it, you know? They're going to catch those animals.
Yeah.
That was so pointless.
They probably have trackers on them.
Probably.
Like microchips or something.
But we did get Kylo Ren Hulk punching General Hux.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you
that
think
was.
You got him? Punch.
Which would have been funny if I wasn't thinking to myself, this is the First Orders now. These are the people leading it. I think we're circling back around a lot. I think Eric needs to get to bed soon. I think anyone who's still listening to us, I'm sorry.
Don't apologize. Own it, man.
Yeah. Thank you for being our therapy group. I was really hoping that by going point by point through these things, it would help people to process it a little bit more.
Yeah.
And to realize that most of us aren't hating the whole movie.
No.
Yeah.
Don't generalize me, man. Don't generalize me, bro.
You don't know me.
Yeah. Don't know me.
Well, I'll just say to sum up that I really appreciated that this was a movie that took a real chance and it was not predictable. And if people felt like it took the wrong exit, at least it didn't just stay on the safe path.
Yeah.
And because of that, none of us know where the next movie's going to go. And that's an interesting thing too.
Yeah.
And if part of it is that the intent is to lead it to a real resolve of, we can't just cycle through the same stories, we have to make a big rip in what has happened. And Kylo is the one who kept saying, you know, let it go, burn it, leave it behind, let the past go.
Mm-hmm.
The fans right now are not able to do that, but Rey is, in a sense, their voice of, not wanting to do that. But if we're going to not repeat a cycle at some point, you have to do that.
Yeah.
You know, Xavier can only fight Magneto the same way so many times.
It's so true.
If the underlying pivotal story point of all of this is what is the Force and what does it want, then maybe we're about to find out.
Don't build up to the next movie, bro. It's not going to help. Have you learned nothing? Yeah, I'm with you entirely on that. Really well said.
Yeah, I agree. Good points. Good point.
So, toss that over your shoulder and walk away cool.
Or curmudgeonly. You know, go with what feels right in the moment.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if the ending scene of Force Awakens, the next time I watch it, if it's going to be better for me or just ruined or what. It's just going to be a weird experience.
Yeah. Like,
To now put into our minds all the things that we know he's feeling as opposed to what we could have surmised he was feeling.
You know what? Just shoulder wipe that. Just
swoop. Just brush it off. Shake it off.
Brush it off.
We got to have another Taylor Swift thing in there somewhere.
That's right. Yep.
Got it. Just shoulder wipe. There you go, George Lucas. You got your wipe.
Transition jokes.
There are 6 cinema students who laughed at that.
All right. So, Garrick, thank you for being with us again. We appreciated your extra special insights and naming all the things I couldn't remember.
Hope I wasn't too negative. That's what I'm here for. Headcanon.
Your Garrickopedia. And where can we find you?
Well, you can find me on the Fly Casual Star Wars podcast on iTunes or wherever. You can follow us at Fly Casual 1138 on Twitter, and then Fly Casual podcast on Facebook, and then my Twitter address is an unpronounceable name.
Cuckoo-ca-choo.
Good luck finding that. Cuckoo-ca-choo the 7th.
Another Wolverine reference.
It's from Seven Samurai.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
we love having you on. We love all the listeners that you drag into our show with you.
Hey, you're welcome.
It's a trap.
It's a trap. Yeah, so thanks for having me, guys. I had a lot of fun, and it was good therapy. I feel a lot better about the movie, actually, now that I got to talk it out a little bit more.
Yeah, now that you actually got to talk?
Yeah, now that I actually get to say so. Yeah.
How many people were on your podcast?
Last time?
Yeah, 6?
A million?
There were 6 of you, 6. All in one room.
Yep, man. Stinking it up.
I bet. Did it smell like a boys' locker room in there?
Yeah, it was awful. It was like a weird kind of warmth. I did not like it.
It's enough to make you want to force project into there.
I was trying to put that Leia bubbles force shield around myself. Didn't work.
Yep.
It's not how the force works.
Big bro, where can we find you?
You can find us at Fan Bro Friends on Facebook. And you can find me on Facebook and Instagram at Secret Alias Man, where you can see not only my Poe costume, but also the soon-to-be infamous video of the Winter Soldier playing Pinky in the Brain.
I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, me too.
I'm sure the 2 listeners who are still with us are looking forward to that too. Yep, and right now I think I'll plug my SoundCloud, which is soundcloud.com/SanchoPanda. It's got a couple new songs on there, the one you heard on this episode and one that was played on Garrick's on the Fly Casual podcast. Yeah. So it was entitled Sith Lords, but it was a parody of the Sisters song from White Christmas.
Nice.
It's awesome.
Thanks. Do you have a battle cry?
We have everything we need. We have real Leia face at the end of a movie.
Yes.
Nice.
What more could you
only
want?
10% CGI.
And I was going to end by saying every word that we said on this podcast was right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. All right, I'll just give up on what I was looking at.
Can you tell us what you were looking for?
No.
So you don't want to spoil what you couldn't find and won't be able to mention?
Well, I still have hope that I can find it while we're just messing around.
You mean like while we're doing the broadcast?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that. Also, it's one thing not to listen to me during the part where we're trying to get good intro and outtakes.
Well, I also might be able to organize my sock drawer, so.
Oh, yeah.
Except when Garrick and I get into full-on just talking to each other and you feel left out, you'll just be like, sock drawer time!
That's when I really start to care about the difference between dark browns and blacks.
That's when it gets racist. Gotta separate the whites and the darks.
That's right.
We're calling secret alias man. Is secret alias man there? We're calling for secret alias man.
I'll hold.
Hailing.
No.
Alien man.
No. Secret alias man.
Guys, stop, please. It hurts.
Secret has an alias. You know. I'll hold. It's okay.
Kids chair.
Segway. If there's a way that has a seg, this is the segway.
I'm editing out all of this.
Aw, this is priceless.
No.
Well, we've got the actual music, so I was just emulating it.
All right, fine.